Welcome in, boys. Another day. Woo! Another time to talk with the boys. Curtis, as you can see, has been filled in by a Ninja Turtle beanbag and Donkey Kong, but he will be here at some point. We'll jump in here. So I reached out to some people and I was like, all right, what would be like a good, what's like some fun topics? I like to reach out to other people besides our brains. And people are like, well, I mean, I don't know why you don't talk about this. You guys have had a show for a decade. You've been game hunting for a decade. What are some of the best moments of the show? And I was like, oh, it just seems so like fan service-y. And he's like, yeah, people want to hear that stuff. And I'm like, okay, let's dive deep to some of our favorite stories. I feel free to ask questions, you and as a recent joiner of the channel. How long do you think you've been on the channel on Pixel Game Squad? What would you say?
Maybe a year and a half.
Okay.
Year and a half.
That's weird. I actually was telling my therapist, I haven't liked the last year and a half of my life. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like the thorn in your side.
No, actually, you're absolutely fantastic. Well, great addition to the show, I may say as well.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you. Let's start with Ricky.
Oh.
Ricky, you and I, about almost 11 years ago now, in 2012, in October, uploaded our first video on YouTube.
It's crazy.
Remember? Hands in the pockets, on the side, a little awkward. Hey, everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Ricky.
And today we're at the Orange County Swap Meet looking for Nintendo games, Super Nintendo games, anything Nintendo related. Wish us luck on our first episode of the NES Pursuit.
The NES Pursuit.
That was it. Isn't it weird I remember that?
That's awesome.
It was fun. Ricky,
how old were you guys?
Oh, guys. So that's what, 11-ish years ago now. I'm 38 now. So probably like 26?
26.
Give me those years back, please.
And I've seen those videos. Of course, we all have. I mean, you guys look great now, but you looked like young boys almost.
Come on. Then.
You look like young kids.
We were technically. I mean, yeah. 26. It's funny now that I'm older. I feel like that's a very young. That's young.
It's young. Yeah. 26.
Oh my god, I feel so old.
We're all in that range now, okay?
Just wait until you get to the 40s, bro.
Why you gotta say that, bro?
I know, we're close.
You guys haven't cracked that
egg
yet, huh?
We're close to cracking.
You're 40 already, right?
I'm 42.
Oh, you know how it is.
Yeah, well, I know how it is.
At least you're in shape.
I like blew my back out.
You have a shape.
The gym.
What?
You have a shape too.
Well, like a challenge set.
I don't know if you're a big square.
I'd say Pillsbury Doughboy.
Ricky, let's go back. What are some, we've done so much on the show from every state you can think of to meeting different people. What are some of your, what is one of your favorite moments of doing this as long as we've done it?
Oh man. I mean, there's a lot of them, but one, I'm pretty bummed we didn't get to film. It literally just happened. Was that last year this year when we went with Rick?
To
Arkansas.
Which part?
All right, so this was, the bad part is we filmed this, but we're not making a video on it. This is one of my favorite things that ever happened.
Ricky's going a little deep cut. So this is
I'm going deep cut. This is stuff like you guys did not see that I wish you would have saw because it was amazing.
Tell them what happened. We did never tell the story, so I actually think it's very interesting for people, even if they don't watch the show in any way, shape, or form, because nobody saw this.
Yeah, no one saw this.
Tell
so
them.
We were just we're yard sailing with Rick. We're like, hey, let's just give it a shot. We started driving around all of Arkansas, and I can't remember who spotted the yard saw. I think it was Riff.
Because
they both kind of fight over who
I yelled, back up. There's a yard sale. Rick drove past it, and I was like, whoa, we're in the middle of Arkansas, and there's a yard sale. Back up.
So we get to this yard sale. They actually have cool stuff. They have like a ton of like the Happy Meal toys, a ton of that. Some of the vintage toys, they were kind of like in rough shape, but they were still cool to collect. And somehow... Was it Rick? Rick was wearing a NASCAR shirt. And I was like, oh, you guys like NASCAR, huh? And we're like, yeah, we love NASCAR. And this dude's like, all right, come in. He called Riff into his room.
Which was a little sketchy.
Wow.
Because we're in the middle of Arkansas, in the middle of, and I'm talking like what you think of when you think of the nowhere part of Arkansas. Like, nobody's around. Guys, like, come in my house, you know, and I'm like, Ricky. I literally told Ricky and Rick, I just kind of looked at him like, I'm just gonna trust, bro. And I went in there, and you know, they're probably out there sitting out there like, is Riff getting killed? Is something good going on? But immediately, and I'll let you finish the story, but I'll jump into where I was.
Arkansas Chainsaw Massacre.
I like the Arkansas Massacre.
Arkansas.
I walk in and I immediately see, you know, validation that this guy's legit. Because when he told Rick, he's like, you're in a NASCAR suite. I was a NASCAR driver. And you never know if it's just some old man telling stories. You know, it's fun to do when you're older, kind of shoot the beans with people. I'm a NASCAR guy. I knew this guy. I knew Dale Earnhardt, this and that. And the minute I walk in, I just see his room is filled with pictures of him, NASCAR hugging Dale Earnhardt, holding trophies, finish line. So I'm like, okay, this guy's legit. And then Ricky, you can keep with the story going. I come out and basically talk to them. And then what happens from there?
Yeah. So he comes out. He's like, dude, you guys got to come check this out. But truth be told, there was a ton of cool stuff outside. That's why me and Rick didn't go in there. He had like Ghostbuster toys and all that stuff. But we walk into his place. He's kind of showing us around. The reason we really went in there was because he said he had this Michael Jordan rookie card that he really wanted to sell us. And we're like, dude, yeah, we'll check it out. Whatever you got.
Let's go look for it.
So he's looking through his drawers, looking for this. And he's like, oh, he pulls out this red underwear. And he's like, hey, you guys into wrestling? We're like, heck yeah. Pulls out Ric Flair's ringworn underwear costume.
Suit,
whatever
yeah, suit, that they yeah. wear.
So he pulled one out. Not only did he pull one out, he pulled out a second one. And he's like, yeah, well, my wife got these when we used to work at
South
Carolina wrestling ring. So apparently the story was that some of the wrestlers puked in like where the dressing room. So neither one of them wanted to go. And in the end, she ended up going. And when she went to clean up the dressing room, apparently these got left behind. So she just grabbed them and kept them.
That's unbelievable.
They were basically like janitorial service. Everyone was barfing. I'm sure they're out partying and you drink a bunch of booze. We know Ric Flair and them go crazy.
Yeah.
You go crazy, you wrestle, you shake your body up. The show ends, you puke everywhere. You bail in a hurry. They called people in. Janitorial, come. Nobody wanted to come. Teresa is her name. She went and she's like, he left his shorts behind that he wore in the ring. And what's cool is the stories they told us. I mean, for sure, we're clothing guys. 100% guaranteed. 100% vintage. 100% authentic. Again, we can't authenticate the story, but all the dates they told us, the times, the location, we went and Googled everything. South Carolina, that year, he was there. Wow. He wrestled. Like, everything added up.
And such a good story. Why would you, like, even lie about
it? No, yeah. And they don't even know. We couldn't have been. We couldn't have been. We could have cared less about wrestling, right?
Right.
And they would have still told us. So for them to tell us and us sitting there like, oh my gosh. Craziest part was they offered us very low money that they wanted for them. We ended up giving them, you know, basically $100 each. They thought that was even too much, but that's what we paid.
But
we know what they'd be worth to get them authenticated and put out there. I know people will put out those same, it's the red shorts with the RF on them. Getting those, you know, authenticated and sold. I mean, I see what fake stuff sells for signed by Ric Flair. That's like a repop of something.
And were they just in like a regular underwear drawer? Like with his underwear?
He just had him in an underwear.
All his
it was like his regular underwear.
He had random collectibles.
Do you think he would wear them at one time? I wonder if he wore them.
He's too big.
He was too big.
Yeah, he was too big. These are tiny, dude. They're tiny. Like tiny. They're made to like.
But I've actually seen them. They're kind of like the high waisted.
They're very high waisted.
They're so over your belly button.
Out there, only my wife has it. There's a picture of me.
Did you put them on?
Shirtless with no underwear on underneath. I put them on raw, dude. 100%.
Did they fit?
They fit.
They did. He was in good shape.
They were snug.
Yeah, he was skinny back then.
They were snug. I will say they are much smaller than you would think. I'm not a big guy by any means. I mean, I'm tall, but I'm 170 or so. They were a little snug when I put them there. And the interesting about them, they're not very stretchy. You know, they're old school, right? Things were a lot like if you look at old baseball stuff, it's a lot of like pretty, there's not a lot of flex within it.
Did it, and it held everything together.
Everything held together. You can definitely 100% tell they're vintage from tag to look weird, old, like not even like a real tag, but like cloth material, you know.
Because I've always wondered, I've watched wrestling my whole life, like what the material of that is made. Because there's never any
like a thick linen.
Things never go wrong in the ring, you know what I mean? Like they seem to hold everything.
That's why they're not thin. They're almost like made to make sure that your family jewels don't pop out because they know you're doing there's no way once you put those on that nothing's moving.
Yeah.
Not even. It's locked in place.
Do you smell it?
100% smell.
I guess they smell it. Yep. He was like, whoa.
Yes. I examine them and definitely. Let's go. Rick, Chris liked that a lot.
I love Ric Flair. I love the whoa.
I examined them before I put them on, and there was definitely questionable stains. And I was like, eh.
Yeah, whatever. It's
whatever.
I'm never going to be able to say I wore Ric Flair's underwear.
And of course, you don't wash them.
No, you don't want to wash them.
It doesn't matter. Everything there works.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yep. It's interesting, too. The guy that did it, his name was Flying Clyde. he had like his own t-shirts of NASCAR back in the day where you could see he was like sponsored by Pizza Hut and stuff like that. But what was really cool for us, and it was like a very unexpected thing, it was very emotional because you could tell his family, he had been retired from it for so long that everyone's been there, heard that with dad telling, you know, old grandpa telling the same stories over and over. So when he told us, we were super excited. We're like, oh my, that is great. Oh, I can't. Dude, he started to tear up. You could tell it's like he hasn't told this story in 30 years and seen people excited to hear the story. So it was really cool. Rick, like, you know, Rick gave him some money to go to dinner. Like, you know, they weren't living large. I think we even like prayed for him and like really just had like a fun, I think he wasn't in good health at all. A really cool experience where we walked away and feeling like, man, I feel like they were really blessed by that. And not even saying we did anything to bless them, but I mean, it just felt like a situation that I know made him feel like, you know, maybe somewhat like honored for his name again, because I can't imagine, you know, you tell the same story, middle of Arkansas, your cousin's heard it, your wife's heard it, everybody's heard it, they've lived, been there, done that, but now you're getting to tell it with new life again.
Well, you know, it also brings up something I think about, like I go to a lot of estate sales where there's a lot of collectibles, and of course, you know, people die, they pass away, and there's all these collectibles in people's homes, and maybe this guy, how old was he, would you say?
60s? Late 60s?
But maybe not good health, but like on his last...
Yeah.
He was having, you can tell he's having breathing.
Probably just so excited to like see people that were interested in the stuff that he was interested in. Probably half his family, and like my family's not interested in the stuff that I like to collect either. And I've always thought about that when I pass, like what's going to happen with this stuff?
You know?
So to see you guys interested was probably like, oh my gosh, people, there's other people that care about this too.
Now that I think about him and Teresa, his wife, were both tearing up, telling the story.
They were both.
And I was like, this is so cool. Like it was, if anything, I would say it was a blessing for us, you know, to walk away with that. Not just like, obviously finding like one of the craziest items we could possibly find, but like middle of Arkansas, middle of nowhere. There is some footage of it out there. We'll be honest. We were kind of doing like the low key film, but I didn't feel right after talking. Like I'm not trying to post this man struggling to breathe in his room, you know, no shirt on. Like,
oh, he was in really poor health then.
Yeah. He was breathing hard and I didn't want to get like, I didn't feel comfortable enough to put it out, even though we could have clickbaited the heck out of it and got views, you know, but I was like, it's not worth it. So,
and I think those are the kind of stories it doesn't work filming.
Yeah, they're more worth
to be
told.
It will not feel the same for you.
Yeah. Totally. I would have felt sleazy.
Yeah.
Right? What about you? I'm curious, Gabo. What are your... So you were a fan of the show, then became a big part of the show.
I got a lot, man.
Well, we don't have time for a lot. Give me your favorite story of Pixel Game Squad.
I'm going to say two.
Okay.
But I promise quick.
It's not the rules, you're out.
it's so many, but I will say one that I really always remember start laughing is when you broke your rib.
Oh, in Phoenix. Yeah.
That's a good one.
And that's the same one. He lost his watch.
We'll tell Chris the story in a minute.
Is this the skateboarding one? Have I heard this?
No. It's a great one.
Okay.
It's because I was brand new. I think that was my...
Yeah, early days.
That was my first event with you guys. And when that happened, I was like, uh-oh, what I'm doing? What I just get into?
Yeah, what am I doing here with these boys?
And the other one is brand new. And yeah, I have to tell this. Is when you called me a couple of months back and told me about SoCal.
Oh.
Believe it or not... I didn't tell you. I think I told somebody, but I started crying. You can go back to the voice message. And it was special for me because I felt so happy for you guys.
Yeah.
That coming from I remember I was in Lake Los Angeles without reception.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, and you called me.
I think I was trying to tell you and you're like,
you called me and I was like, call from Reefo. Probably he's gonna be saying like, why you say something like, because receiving a call from you is rare because you're always busy.
We talk on voice messages. Yeah.
We talk a lot in voice messages.
Make that clear. We talk all day, but on voice messages. This guy's acting like I don't call you. Jeez.
It's like you never call.
Yeah, but it's rare because we're always busy.
Actual call, yes.
It's not only you, it's the same with me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's rare for us to call each other.
Yeah.
Unless it's something super important.
Yeah, super important.
So I remember you calling me and the calls drop.
Yeah.
And then I call you. And then it drops again.
Yep.
And you was like, oh, I have to tell you something. I have to tell you something. I was like, uh-oh, what happened? And the call drops again. And then you call me.
Yeah.
And it drops. But then you start testing me. Voice message. And I was so...
Which is how we normally communicate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it drops.
Yeah. No. I was so happy because everything started like going back and remember that first episode.
Yeah.
And remember when you guys start and all the journey.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I will say so far, it has to be my favorite one.
That's awesome. What a good.
No, seriously.
No, I agree. It's hey, it's right behind you too as you speak. That not unintentionally,
wow,
but
what a promo. Pay me. Nah.
Gotta do what we gotta do.
Yeah, I told that story to somebody. It was you that I told you.
I think so.
I will start crying like a little baby.
Yeah, I got emotional about it too. I mean, behind the scenes, like, I did too. Because this is like our baby.
Yeah.
Like, SoCal Game Hunting is our baby. Like, that's 100%.
And the expo will bring it to real life too, and we're excited for it now. Wait till the show actually.
Even
happens.
Like us last night, all talking. I'm calling all the people today. Like, hey, what are you doing? Talking to Gabo.
Receiving message from Gabo.
We put Gabo in some roles. Gabo's gonna have some important roles too. So be ready, people. We told him last night.
You're part of the discussion.
100% bodyguard.
I've been the spokesman.
And it'll be. We'll have 7-8 months of planning this. So it's gonna be a lot of work and excitement and everything. And then it's like an accumulation of like when the event happens. It's unbelievable because I've been doing it with Retro World, of course, for years now, so I'm beyond excited for SoCal.
I was thinking you was going to tell me that you guys bought a store, and that was for me, that was like, oh, okay, cool,
yeah,
makes
cool
sense. But when you told me about SoCal, I was so emotional.
Heck yeah, bro.
It was so awesome.
I love that,
because
that
who better than you guys?
Not Chris alone.
Well, that's what I thought when I,
I'm just like bringing you guys. You would have done great even if we didn't come along. But yes.
Well, I mean,
it all made sense. It was the timing of us meeting and everything. Yeah. It just made.
I will say,
sense.
Who better than us? Because I will include myself there. Because
you're part of it. This whole
and
squad
Mikey and yeah,
so. Everybody that you see on the show is 100%, and people in the community are 100% a part of this. All right,
I'll tell a quick story though, just to jump in on it while we're reminiscing. But I probably told this story before, but you guys said you made your first video in 2012. I opened my second store in Connecticut in 2013, and at the time, Russ Lyman was my manager of the store, who's also a good friend.
Really?
You guys know Russ?
Yep.
Yeah, Russ worked for me.
Russ is awesome.
For years, yeah. And he was manager of that. He was the first manager of that store. Well, when it was just myself and Russ and we're building out the store, we had a TV that we put up on the wall, and he started it. He used to play you guys all the time. So you would have only been a year into it. And Russ and I just used to watch you guys all the time. And I don't think he knew you guys at that point. We just would watch. And again, you were the young kids at that time. But,
That's so cool.
And so to like come full circle 10 years later and then to be doing an expo.
It's almost unbelievable.
It's
really kind of,
it is. And in my mind, I think about it, I'm like, that is so weird how that, it's all transpired. Because I'm 3,000 miles away on the other side of
the God's plan.
Country.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is like a God's plan.
It's almost like we couldn't have made this happen if we wanted to make it happen.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Just sit down and think about it.
Yeah. Oh, I do.
Think about it.
I do.
And other thing that makes me so happy is what I always, the only one that like it and laugh is Ricky. But I always telling you about my role in all of this. I want to make it.
I don't know what they're saying.
Wait, well, you want to make it what?
Well, I would like, I want to help and I would like to be the best.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You are.
You're a spokesman.
No, I mean the so-called to be the best one.
Yeah. Okay.
Not talking bad.
I better tell part of the story so we're still on topic on hand. We're almost 20 minutes deep in this one. So for me, biggest for sure moment in the show, I think as far as like what the community gathered towards was when we found or went into the warehouse with all the sealed games.
Oh, yeah.
That was probably one of the biggest conversations. If anybody doesn't know, we went to a warehouse full of sealed games. It's almost like as if Toys R Us shut down in like the early 2000s with all their stock in the back and then just left it there. But I want to jump in and say there's one that's still more important to me to this day, and that was Archons. That was the best moment in the show.
That was great.
That's true. Our buddy Archon, who we know now, Art of Nintendo Power, does some of the coolest stuff on the internet in the world of video games as far as us being paper people and preserving art and stuff like that. Basically, I met him on an airplane. He started telling me
we were flying to Portland.
He comes and tells me that he was a big old fan of the show and it was super important. And he tells me, you know, his wife is a huge fan, but she's struggling with cancer and that she wanted to meet us before she passes. Sadly, we didn't get to meet her before she passed, but we still got to go to his house like pretty much after that. And it was just a really like emotional feeling video being there, knowing that like his wife isn't there anymore. And we kind of got to dedicate the video to her and kind of like talk to her in a way, you know, while we're there on video and the video. And I feel like it was just such a like, we've always been goofy on camera because that's who we are. But I feel like it gave the show a little more importance to us, like even as people, just like, wow, this is so much more important than we realize sometimes. Not putting it on us, but like these things can be so important to people. Like even us, we don't realize, you know, I'm sure American pickers don't realize that when we're having fights with our family and real things are going on, sometimes we'll watch to escape that stuff, you know? So for us, it kind of got to like cement for us in our brains, like, whoa, like this, sometimes people will watch this in much more important reasons than we think, you know, to get them through something, to help them kind of forget. I know you, same thing with your family members as well, watched our show. And, you know, it was just a really like a humbling part of the show for us.
Go beyond the games.
Yeah, that's an important thing. And I've realized that even with the stores and with the expo over the years that I've done, it's like a spiritual reason for what you're doing.
Yep.
It's beyond just like, okay, I sell video games. Like, what's the reason I'm doing it? And I get that same satisfaction when people come in and go, oh my gosh, this is my childhood, and it brings them back.
You could see it.
You can see it.
See it.
And I've realized that's my gift back, is that.
Yep.
And the expo is that too. Like, you're creating an amazing memories and in time for people that's like they're going to have with them for the rest of their lives. That's a spiritual thing you're doing for the good of people. So it's good that you had that experience as well.
Well, thank you. And not to cut everybody off on our middle of our emotional, on to the next topic. Curtis is not here. Ricky clapping. Clapping is normally my role, being obnoxious and just clapping about things that we don't need to clap about. So we had Gabo on last time and we ranked Capcom NES games. And there was definitely, because we touched on in the comments, if Capcom was better in the 8-bit days or if Konami was better in the 8-bit days. It seemed that was the main conversation within the chat. So
waiting.
So now what we're doing is we're gonna be ranking Konami and we're just gonna go for it. S is best, F is worst. Gabo the guest, give me a number between 1 and 10.
6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We are starting off with Gradius or Gradius. By the way, how do you say it? Gradius or Gradius?
Why are you asking me?
Well, yeah,
I'm the bro guy.
How about you?
Gradius.
Now I don't know because you guys said it. Gracias. That's what Gabo says.
Yo, Gradius.
Dang it, that would have been a good one. Dang it, I should have held that.
Grandios.
Gabo, what's your thoughts on Gradius, Gradius?
C for me.
C.
I prefer Life Force.
Oh, you're a Life Force man.
Yep.
Okay. Christopher?
Man, I actually like Gradius a lot. I love this game. I thought it was Life Force probably was better.
We're not comparing. We're ranking.
Is Life Force on this list?
It is not. I can't put everything. Again, note to everybody: I'm not putting every Konami game. I'm not putting the sub diversions of Ultra after Konami couldn't make more. Yeah.
What is better, Gradius or Life Force?
What do you got, Chris?
Man, I did like this. I'm going to give it an A. I like it a lot. Wow. I thought it was really good. I played the heck out of this game.
I'm with Gabo. It's not my favorite. I do like it, but there also are other shooter games on the Nintendo I like much better. So I'm going to go C, even though I still like the game. Ricky?
I was going to go C+.
Ooh. Uh-oh. I zoomed out. How do I fix that? Whoa!
Hey, this is like the first time I've noticed that we've like given something low when Chris gave something high. Usually it's like the opposite.
It is the opposite.
All right, ready? We're just going to jump into the next one.
C+, B? Did it give it a B? No,
it's still barely a C, bro. And I'm going to say on this one, just so people know, this is the first time because I couldn't do it. I had to break our rules, and I did put two games from our same franchise in this list because I couldn't not, because they're completely different games. So with that, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, NES, Chris, First one, by the way, part one.
As much as I hate it, I actually played the heck out of this game, and I did really enjoy it before Turtles 2 came out. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the way the game should be. But when this was all there was to play, it was the first time Turtles, I think, had probably ever been on a video game. I want to guess.
There's no way I'm cementing that in with the internet, having internet in front of them.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was a PC game at some point, but I don't think so. So, I mean, I was super excited to play it. It was so hard, but I still enjoyed it. But man, it was hard. I'd give it a B.
B.
Just because of that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was so hard.
Ricky?
I'm at the same thing. B. It's fun, but it wasn't my favorite game.
I mean, B's still a good grade.
B's still good.
Don't forget, B's a good grade. A lot of times I feel like we say B and we're like, it's kind of bad. And we're like, wait, that's actually like a great, like great job.
Do you guys remember picking this up and being like, what the heck? Why are all their bandanas red?
Comics. That's why.
I know.
The comics.
But, yeah. But as a kid, I'm like,
what do you mean? All their, oh, on the front.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is this, right? Raphael game? That's all right. Yeah, but what about you?
On pop opinion, A. In my opinion, the best.
Hey.
The turtle.
Put that hand out right
turtles
now. Put that hand out,
wow.
Gabo. Put that hand out like this. Give me a high five because I'm with you. A.
Best, you love it.
I love it.
Yeah, it is good.
Turtles games on the NES.
Did you ever get past the time bombs?
Yeah.
It's the second level. I couldn't get by that. I couldn't get by the overhead one.
Actually.
The third level I couldn't get by.
Well, the overhead world, there is an overhead map the whole time. With, by the way, the music.
Whatever the third one is. I couldn't get past the third level then. That's what it was.
Yeah, you suck, bro.
How did you? You guys never beat this game, though, did you?
What kind?
Did you?
Are you insulting me?
You know, hey,
I beat this game with him.
I could never beat it.
Spoiler alert, he got a new name.
Oh, yeah. What'd you start calling me?
Captain I Know Everything NES.
Oh, that's what he said. You guys are calling me Captain I Know Everything NES.
Hey, look at me. I'm the Captain I Know Everything.
I thought he was going to say the completionist.
I'm going A too. I actually, so when I was a kid and I played this game, it wasn't one of those games, you know, where like, you are like, oh, well, it should have been like this, like Mario 2. You know, a lot of people are like, I played it, and it was supposed to be like that one. I didn't have anything like a preconceived notion of what TMNT should have been. So when I played this, I thought it was just an amazing game. I'm only not giving it an S because there's a couple other in here I'd want to give an S. But I absolutely love this game. It's one of my favorite games of all time. So that's AA. BB. Oh.
How many levels were there? Five?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my hand.
Probably five, I think.
And the music is amazing.
That's between A and B. Ready? We're just going to go to the next one straight up. We're going to mix it up with Double Dribble. Ooh, Gabo, you're a basketball guy. Let's go with you.
Double Dribble. I have to go B because of nostalgia.
Nostalgia.
Yeah.
Like the slam dunks, bro? Yeah. The animations?
Keep going.
I'll jump in and say I love the music on this game. It's basic. It's simple. I did love the animations. I have to say, as an adult going back and playing it, not really my favorite thing. But I do have a ton of nostalgia for it. But I'm trying not going to be blinded by the light. I'm going to go C based off what it is. I think I like Arch Rivals better, actually. But I'm going to go C. What you got, Ricky? What you laughing about over there?
I'm going to give it a D for Double Dribble, bro.
Ooh, Double D.
I literally had nostalgia for it, but yeah, this game used to make me so mad.
I'm going
to
give you a D for Donald.
Donald? Donald Duck? Donald Trump? What are we doing here? What you got, Chris?
I'm D as well. Ooh, I was not a big fan of this game, so D for me.
Well, that ranked real low. That's D.
It's not that bad.
That's a solid T. Solid D. Let's bring up the hype right here and just, I'm debating, do I blow the load with Super C or Contra? I'm going, or Castlevania, I meant. I'm going Castlevania. Okay, Chris, we're going to go with you first. You're staring deeply.
I mean, I love the Castlevania, all of them, but this one in particular, when it first came out, just blew my mind.
Yeah.
It was so, so good. This is just my style of game that I like. It's an S. I got to give it an S.
What do you think about the knockback? Where when you get hit and you get knocked back like Ninja Gaiden?
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, horrible.
Working those staircases.
Staircases were so clunky trying to position yourself going up them. But the music was incredible. I loved so much about this game. It's a solid S.
Gabo?
S2.
Okay.
He's
S squared.
Super.
I'm going to go A. Love the game. hey, we're acting like A's are bad. Oh, an A? No, it's super good. A for Castlevania. Like you said, I don't think it may actually be one of the best scores musically in video games, like across the board from all of them. All the Castlevanias have just beautiful soundtracks. Actually, some of the soundtracks I use remixes for in my runs, like to keep me pumped. Because they be going, bro.
Nice.
What you got, Ricky?
It's an A for me, too. I love it, but I can't give it an S just yet.
Ooh, I think I know where your S is going. So that's still good. That's between an A and an S. That's still some fantastic ratings right there. Let's mix it up a little and go Goonies 2. And, you know, I'll jump in first on this. I really like this game. Like, I really like it probably more than I should have. It's a little janky. The graphics are pretty whack. Soundtrack's great. It's a B for me. I very much enjoy this game, and I can go back to play it and still smile each time. A B. It's all B.
I played it. I have to actually, like, rack my brain what this game is like. But I do remember it, and I played it. I thought it was going to be so much better, I think, what I was expecting, like, from the cover. Wow. And I was like, oh, my gosh, it's Goonies game. And, of course, there was no Goonies 1, right? It was just Goonies 2.
Yeah, something weird like that.
I forget the thing, but there was no Goonies 1. But it came out, and I just loved the movie. It's like, this is going to be amazing. And I just remember being so disappointed with this game.
Well, for being one of the early Nintendo, like, licensed games that's, you know, whether it's Jaws or Friday the 13th, whatever, all these companies had their brands for them. I feel like it's a decent one because a lot of them, like Back to the Future, Bill and Ted, just got smoked with being horrible games. Like, this wasn't as bad.
Not as bad.
As it could have been.
I would give it a C.
Gabo?
Now that I'm thinking, I played the other day and I will go with B.
You're B.
You know... Yeah, B.
You little B.
I love how they mix. I don't remember if it's the first person when you are inside the houses and looking for the ball.
What do you call that? Dungeon crawling?
Yeah, like you go like this.
I always forget what that's called.
Yeah, like a dungeon crawler. Yeah.
What is it called? Because I like Fantasy
Star. Where it like turns.
Friday the 13th does it. I forget what those.
But I forgot. It was in first person or you can still see the guy?
Ricky, what's your opinion on this game?
I honestly can't remember it, so I don't want to score it. When you guys were explaining it, I was
I'm the only one here who should be ranking this game right now.
That's what they're
both, I remember it.
They're both questioning everything about this game right now.
I said,
Captain, I know everything NES.
Yeah, go ahead, Captain.
Did you beat it?
I can't remember.
Can't remember?
I feel like it might have been one of those games where we beat like collectively as brothers. Yep. It's kind of how we did most of it in the childhood. Gabba, what was your ranking? You said B. Double B and C, so that's okay. That's pushing. Let's go straight up right here. TMNT 3, The Manhattan Project, by the way, which is right here.
There it is.
Manhattan Project. Christopher.
Not my favorite of the three.
Mm.
So, but I liked it. I'd give it an A.
Okay.
It's good.
Solid A for me. I love the beach scene in the beginning, how it just comes in, the fun beach music, the vibes, the chill vibes, you're all watching TV on the beach, the music, the way things fall on you, absolute A for me. Gabo?
C.
Really?
I did play the other day, and I didn't enjoy it. I think it's like stiff, like...
What are you doing over there, Gabo? Can I help you?
You can't say that, bro.
I'm thinking about Leonardo with the sword, like...
That's probably Donatello who does it like that, but...
Oh, and Leonardo, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, I didn't enjoy it as the other game, so it's a C for me.
C, okay. Ricky?
It's an A. I actually enjoyed this more than the other one.
Which one? Two or one?
One.
Okay.
Two, I think, is still...
That's your favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, so that was A. What was you?
A.
Okay, so AAA and then Gabo just being incorrect. So we'll go... Low A. That's still low A. Let's just look at Ricky for this one. Bucky O'Hare.
Gabo being
my
Gabo.
Gosh, this is one of my favorite Nintendo games. It's so good. This is like, if there was something beyond an S tier, I'd give it to it because I love this game that much. It's like Mega Man mixed with a bunch of, you know, it's Mega Man, but you can swap off characters. That's literally what it is. It's so good. I love this game. S tier.
There's so much speed in the game, too, which I feel like for the NES can sometimes be hard. But there was so much speed in so many of the levels. There's like the cart levels where you move around as the characters and it's full speed going. The music is just pumping the whole time, like fast paced, no slowdown, almost give you anxiety level of pumping. I love it. I beat it recently. I beat it maybe 2 months ago with Andy.
So
I beat it through and it's an S. It was one of my favorite games that I've beaten in a long time.
I missed this one. I never played this game. And I own it.
I showed you a little gameplay.
I know. You showed me gameplay of it. I'm like, that looks incredible because Mega Man's one of my favorite franchises. So I was like, oh my God, I would love that game. But I have to go play this one. I've never played it.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to have to pass.
You get the ranking of go play it. Gabo.
I'm going with a solid A. thanks NES Complex. He's the one that told me to play it.
Oh,
I never played it before. And like a year ago when I bought it, he was the one told me, go play it.
And you loved it.
I was like, those kind of games, like, why I didn't play it?
Yeah.
When I was a kid.
So, so good. A-S-S.
Hey.
Was like, yeah. Chris. All right, here we go.
Oh,
hey, Chris isn't here, bro. I can't pick on him when he's not here.
Too. I was like, hey,
come on. All right. You want me to punch him?
I love Chris. I mess with those I love. All right, let's mix it up a little bit. Let's do Blades of Steel.
Blades of
Steel. I mean, I'm already talking A. Top five sports games of all time to me. The fights feel good. The punch sound effects feel good. The halftime shows, get the puck, or whatever he says. I'm always like, is that actually what he's saying?
I hope that is what he's saying.
I love when they drop face off. What do you guys, these boys are grabbing Coke over here. Coca-Cola, not a sponsor. I'm going solid A on this game. Beautiful game. My God, I love this game. I bet I would smoke you at it.
This was not my favorite hockey game on the NES.
I was just saying that to talk about
it. I know people do love this game, and I have played it, and I liked it. The fights was awesome.
So good.
They were so good in this. But my favorite hockey game is ice hockey on the NES.
Really? Oh, it's not bad. I like ice hockey.
I love ice hockey. That is one of my favorite games, actually. So because of that, I would give this a B.
Okay, a B. So we have an A and a B. Gabo.
Solid 8. Two teams.
8?
8?
8. Solid 8. Two things. First experience, fighting game, and sport game.
Wow.
A double combination.
Seriously.
Gotcha.
So for me, it has to be so good, man.
You know what I'm surprised a company hasn't done? Oh, my gosh. I don't even want to say. Capcom, if you're listening, or Konami, hook me up. Like a new sports game. It's arcade-style hockey game, right? They have those arcade-style ones. Crazy. But when you go into fight, it like turns into a full-on like Street Fighter type, like crazy power
with
moves.
Fatalities and everything.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so rad.
Dude.
That would be cool.
Dang. That's a good, sorry. Ricky?
It's an A. This is like my second favorite hockey game. The first is N64 Wayne Gretzky's.
That's a good one.
That's a really good game.
That's a really good game. That's a Game Chaser reference for those who don't know. So that was a solid, that was a AAA. Did you rank it?
What'd you say,
Chris? I gave it a B.
Okay, so we're doing good right now. Bucky O'Hare is just creeping up the top with Castlevania. Let's go. Let's switch it up. Let's go. Ooh, Monster in My Pocket. Man, what a good game. Man, what a freaking good game. And I feel like every time someone talks about this game, it's like brief about how good it is. It has every element of a good video game, from music to graphics. You play as like horror stuff too. It's like every little thing you could want. Even the way you punch and the swipe, it just looks good and sounds good. Hey.
You all right?
I'm low key having a moment. Are you looking at my shorts right now, bro?
I see you like.
Did you see anything up there?
And I heard something. So.
Oh, baby, hit me one more time. What you got? Or I'll do the Britney Spears thing anyway. She's like doing the weird things now with the knives. Oh,
I watch it all the time.
She needs to be a
I follow her.
They need to do like someone needs to do a meme of her as like Katana from Mortal Kombat.
Oh, there is one.
Oh, dang it! Come on, internet. Don't let me down. Good job. What you got, Gabo?
S for me.
Ooh,
it's a perfect game. S.
Wow.
I love it. Everything. Music, gameplay,
yeah.
Graphics.
Beautiful.
So good.
A lot of elements that look like Batman, the game. We looked at that before. I was showing Chris some gameplay.
I didn't play this one. Yeah, so I'm going to have to pass on this one too. But you did show me the gameplay, and it does look very similar to Batman,
yeah.
Which was one of my favorite games on NES.
So good.
Like, music. Unbelievable game.
A-S.
So S, huh?
S.
Dude, wow. I feel like I should rank this because I didn't play it enough. I played it, but I didn't play it enough to give it like a full ranking.
Hey, we'll take our A&S right over here, bro.
I don't want to bring it down.
We'll take our A&S right here. All right, next we'll put it. We won't justify it. I'm gonna save Super C for the last, just because. Who has Tiny Toon in their wheelhouse? Anybody?
I have played it.
What's your thoughts?
I don't remember it much.
Dang it, Christopher.
I know, I have played it.
C for me.
C.
Yeah. My memory with the game is a little baked, but see.
It's a little baked. I got you.
Yeah.
Solid B for me. It's kind of what I feel like a people say it's like a dumbed down version of Super Mario 3. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but it's kind of what you would want as a kid, right? You want the platformer, you want a side scroller. That's what kind of what you're going up with. It's cute. It's good. I feel like it hits all the checks of a good game, but doesn't do any particular part like crazy better than others.
That's the one that Buster goes so fast. Like,
yeah, and then
you're always running.
And yeah. Ducky as well. You can switch to characters, which is another great element.
Yeah.
You can switch characters. Solid B for me.
I give it a B too.
Yeah.
It was great. It's more nostalgia. That's
I think it's a good game, even nostalgia aside. I think it holds a good spot. I don't think it has any necessarily like big flaws that would bring it down. But now, I've been waiting on my S. I got Super C loaded up. Boys, before I scream, somebody give me a grade, because I could talk for an hour on this one.
Solid S.
Let's go.
Perfect game for me. Perfect balance in the difficulty. Mm. Graphics amazing. The music is like a big step up from the original one. I love it.
S. Let's go. Christopher.
I actually like the original better than this one.
That doesn't mean you have to bring this one down, okay? Remember, we're not comparing. We're ranking.
That's racist.
You son of a gun.
I did like it, but man, I still, if I had to choose between the original or this one, I would take the original. There's something about the original that is just hits home for me. I love that game so much.
Yeah, it's easier.
So I'm going to give it an A.
Oh, dang it. Yeah. So we're not getting a S game this list. Every once in a while we get a game or something where it's all S's, but we're not hitting it this time. Ricky?
I'm with Chris. Actually, the first one was my favorite, but I do love this one because I think this is the one where you fight that weird funky robot where it's like it stuns while you hit it. I loved it. I actually did like it. So you know what? S for Super C.
Chris, you're gonna ruin it. You dang it darn diddly idiot. You made me mad. 100% S. I think it's Contras are good. To be fair, all the Contras are good games.
They're so good.
Super C is
well,
the best.
Well, not all.
So not Contra Force.
Not
and
all.
Some of the PlayStation ones yeah.
Well, if we're talking 8-bit and 16-bit,
Contra Force, yeah.
Everything is good. Even Contra Force.
It's
like
still good.
It.
It's just there's a lot of lag.
I think that the mistake with that game is putting the name Contra, but it's a good game.
Agreed. Okay, but yes, Super C, I find the difficulty to be perfectly balanced.
Yeah.
It's hard, but it's also, if you understand a run and gun game, you can get far in this. I have my praise on this one that I did at, I've talked about it before.
Oh, yeah.
I was at my buddy NES Addict's house and they put it in and I hadn't played it in like probably 15 years. And they're like, all right, let's put it in. And they were recording, so it's on camera. And they're like, all right, whenever someone dies, multiplayer, we'll switch players. I almost beat the game without getting touched and I hadn't played it in like 15 years. And to be fair, I lost because my friend, I said, I don't know what to do on this boss. And he said, hold left. You go to the left, he can't hit you. I held left and I got shot. And I was like, dude, you son of a gun. I feel like he didn't want me to get a perfect run on camera first try.
I give it to you. You're Captain Run and Gun Games.
I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just telling
you
an experience.
You are pretty good at shooters, though. Don't come here like, not. Yes, you are.
I'm not trying to fluff my feathers.
You are.
This might be a dumb question, but did the Konami code work on this one?
I don't remember. We didn't use it. If so,
I can't remember if it did. Yeah.
If it did we didn't use it.
I think the Konami works in every Contra game.
In every
across
Contra
platforms.
Game? There, I didn't think not. It's not the third one.
There were some other like indie games.
It worked on that one, did it?
I think I think it works in all Contra games, even in the DS one.
There was even some indie games recently that did that as well.
Really?
Yeah, who did that? But okay, so. Let's wrap this baby up, and we'll say, I think the tops, there was kind of a few that kind of hit that top tier mark, like Bucky O'Hare, Super C, Castlevania, and Double Dribble landed at the lowest end of the stick, which is still a fun game, but it just didn't. The nostalgia wasn't strong enough to hold us. All right, boys, we're on to our next topic here. Oh, he walks in. Everybody, welcome.
Yay!
Curtis, he's in, baby.
That beanbag chair does fit for me. Oh, wait, stop it, bro.
I like the brown Curtis more.
The brown Curtis, bro. Curtis, you know what, my friend? You know what? You're here.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to step on your parade. Why don't you welcome us in
to
topic number
three? All right.
Curtis, wait. Do you want to feel really cool? I'm warning you. This is going to make you feel really cool.
Let's do it.
Do you want to use the tablet?
All right.
Sheesh, baby. Let's go.
I normally print these out. So, I mean, it's just a little different to be able to go off of that. But anyway, we're going to go on to our next topic. It's going to be, why do game collectors never finish a set before switching?
Ooh, I think everyone's going to get a little solid bombastic side eye on this one. This is huge in the collecting scene.
Huge.
Everybody and their mom. I'm going to collect. You stop it because you're my first victim. So hold on.
I was going to say I'm the perfect example.
That's why we're glad you're here. But it's very common. I've been guilty 5 times. Being excited, probably more.
More.
Being excited on YouTube, which is normal, right? We're just excited about what we're doing. We're excited to be playing video games. We love the games. But, you know, like, I'm going to collect for the Sega Master System. That's my thing. I'm going to collect for Sega Genesis. I'm going to finish this set. Ladies and gentlemen, all of us in this room, not one of us have finished a set.
No shot.
Let's start with Gabo.
I think I'm going to be the first one in the squad that's going to finish entire.
Like straight up?
Yes.
Okay, so here, let's jump into that. Let's give.
If I don't count stadium event.
Oh, then it doesn't count.
Oh, that's okay, cool.
So, but listen, here, let's jump in. We have to remember for people who don't know the show, Gabo is working on the NES set. How many deep are you right now?
After this weekend, I'm like 460.
Okay. So the big topic with this is that most collectors will say they're going to finish, never do. They move on to something else. They really never do. Obviously, there's a ton of people who do. Shout out to all of you, Retro Ghetto and Andy and Mort and all these people. They all do it. There are people. But the vast majority from doing this for so long, most people tap out long before they're close. Let's hear your story.
Okay. Actually, I would say the last month when I got the Flintstones,
yep.
That's for normal people, that will be the excuse to stop. Because, you know, I got all the bangers. But after this week and this past weekend, I realized I still need a couple of bangers. And
what are the big bangers that you still need?
Well, I just got a Snow Bros, Tournament Fighters. And I think those are the most expensive that I was missing. But I still need, like, Ghost Lion, things like 100, 150.
Which is still rough because if there's 100 games left that are $150, so it's like crap.
Can I ask you something real quick?
Yes, sir.
Do you think I did the right thing going for the bangers first and ending with the lowest one, like the sports games?
I think it's very interesting. I will give you that. I actually give you some credit for that because at first I was like, that's kind of weird. You're going to go broke. But at the same time, it was an interesting take on it. And I feel like I don't think your last hoorah when you finish is going to feel as victorious if you were doing the bangers last. Well, you probably will because it's stadium events. But I think it's going to make it. I think it's going to make your journey feel a little easier as time goes on because it's like, whew, I already got that out of the way.
Sometimes I think it was a mistake, but
that's how I feel about my life sometimes.
But no, because I bought last weekend, I bought a lot of sports games, and I really enjoy it.
Nice.
I still, for the NES, I still have that feeling of like, I never seen that game before.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a sport game. And I was, for example, I was with...
like rollerblade racing or
something. Yeah, I was with John Ricks, and he was like, oh, this is a rare one. And he's like, it was like $8 game. And it happened with a monster truck game and a golf game. And I never seen those before. So, and a part of that is a good excuse for me to jump to the Super NES too.
But
is valid or not?
I don't know. That's hard because are you planning on finishing Super Nintendo?
Yes.
So, but don't you think?
Wait, everything that I start. Every hole that I start, I'm planning to finish.
But that's
don't you think
word.
That's going to burn you a hole in your pocket?
Like, yes.
Well, no. Listen.
Well, that's the burden that comes.
But listen,
jumping in those holes.
Here's where I think it's going to get complicated, right? Because you're in the early phase of jumping ship to the next one, right? So NES about halfway through, you want to move on to the SNES. Who's to say when you're in the SNES hole halfway through and be like, well, now I should jump to this, but you still haven't finished NES,
ooh,
Super Nintendo, and then it might
point.
Because us as doing this for 10 years, not intentionally collecting, but there's been a ton of consoles where I'm like, hey, we're actually getting kind of close.
Yeah.
But because through time you're just kind of going at it, I'm not even shaming you for this. I'm just asking.
No, yeah.
Shame.
Yeah. I think shame. No. I think it's just interesting because like you are going for the bangers on both. So
true.
I mean,
you are going
like that would be a little bit more difficult on your conscience.
It is funny and strange because for the Super NES hole, I don't want to do this.
With your accent, it does not sound like you're saying
just play the whole thing.
NES.
The whole thing real quick.
The whole, what Galba does, NES whole. It means like.
It's a joke.
Basically means me doing this. Dude, I really like this Donkey Kong plush. I'm just going to pick up one. I like it. 10 months later, you're like, I need every Donkey Kong thing in existence.
It's a joke that start.
Yeah, I think like that was us. Yeah.
Like it's an empty hole that needs to be filled.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to give you the credit. It was your idea.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was you the first one that, oh, that's a hole.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump to that hole. I don't want to jump in that hole.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh, I like it.
So anyways, I'm trying not to commit the same mistakes that I did with NES, with the Super NES hole. But I already did it, so I'm screwed.
What is your method for collecting? Do you only collect what you find in the wild? Will you go on eBay and buy stuff?
That's one of the mistakes that I did with the NES hole. Mm. Because I bought, for example, Bucky, I bought it on eBay.
Oh, was it a good deal?
Yes.
Well, then it might not be a mistake.
You want me to say price real quick?
You can totally.
CIB,
okay.
I bought it for $380.
CIB 380. Well, now don't get mad at me here.
You check price charting.
No,
I'm
going to
check price charting CIB. Ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Be awesome if I had better internet, and then I could really check for you guys.
I think it's like $600.
Okay, you guys something keep like talking that. While I look. What I was going to say, I think will be interesting for you, though, while I will look in a second, is you're going to have fun, though. Obviously, like that release at the end of getting that big banger, again, might be stadium events, but if not, and you get those first.
I'm not going for stadium
events.
Well,
you never know. It can happen in the wild.
Well,
but,
if I won the lottery.
Well, what is fun for you is you still have, like you said, the common easy stuff. It is fun to still be like, I went to a convention, about 150 games that I needed, and you only spent the price you would have on Flintstones. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I feel like that's a good tactic, getting the big bang.
Actually, it happens last weekend.
Well, because I would think a lot of people would get burnt out by the time they get all the low ones, the mid ones, they start getting up to the big bangers. That's when they tap out, because they're like, oh, geez, this is going to cost me $10,000 to complete this.
Yeah.
Now, I think of it like in the opposite way, because it's like, I'm going to be sitting on a lot of cash that's just going to sit on games, you know what I mean? Before you get to like those bangers, you get all the easy ones, right? And then you can see how much you can start buying per, because it's over time, right? You're not trying to go for the biggest things first. That's when you're going to be sitting on the most cash. That's what I think.
What'd you pay for Bucky O'Hare CIB?
$380.
Do you have a little Samsung?
It's a junky copy. Yes. I'm trying to find a decent. Okay. Yeah, around this one last sold for $400. There's one that sold for $900. There's one that sold for $800. Yeah, so I'd say
so good. That's one of the mistakes that I commit in the NES hole. I'm not doing that with Super NES. And also, I promised myself not to buy CIB games for Super NES, but I already...
broke that with me.
You got Street Fighter 2 box from me.
Yeah, and other games that I'm not going to spoil because of... videos coming.
Yes.
Soon.
Yeah. Well, it'll probably go out by then.
I guess the question for all of you guys is if like you guys have tried to complete a set, what would be the hardest part that you think when you were trying to do that?
Ricky?
Is because me and him, when we first started, when we started trying to do the full sets, we would only do swap meet. So our thing would be like whatever we found, that's what we started collecting. Like there was months where we only found Dreamcast. We were close to almost completing Dreamcast. When we find a lot of NES stuff, oh, you know what? We don't need the Dreamcast. Let's go to the NES now.
It was other times, too.
That's true. It was other times.
What's interesting, too, is money plays a huge part into this, right?
Yes.
Collecting the set can be it's very much for your situation, right? Back then, you're on a budget, we're doing whatever. But there was times even recently where I've joked where I've just bought lots. This isn't like a money thing, like a money flex, but it's just like, hey, that guy wants to sell me his collection. Wow, I just bought 400 NES games today. Yeah.
Can I ask you something quick? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go for it. I like it when you interrupt me.
Yeah.
You're the only one I like it from. But you have to look at me in the eyes when you do it.
Shima,
let's go. Yo.
Anyways, visualize yourself as a collector. You are in a hole, right?
Visualizing.
I'm there.
Are you will have fun if you buy a big lot with 50 NES games and you don't have any of those games, you think that's valid?
It makes me happy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I have fun with it.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't find it fun that way.
Really?
Yes. But that's me.
You want to find them one at a time?
Yeah, because that's the...
The journey.
It's the thrill of the journey and the hunt.
But even the journey, if you do it at a normal pace, like us doing what we've done for 10 years, like...
Yeah.
Even when I... Let's say this. We had a show called the NES Pursuit. Yeah. That's what I looked for. Within, let's say, the just the Retro Liberty days, for those who don't know, our original channel, just for like that four-year period, I didn't sell anything. I picked up whatever NES games I would find. I probably ended up only picking up like 400-something within that four-year period.
Look at you now, a reseller's comeback.
Oh,
no.
Yes!
Reseller's comeback, but want me to you want me to finish the NES set tomorrow? I can do it if you want me to.
Yeah, but where's going to be... Hey, where's going to be the challenge and the fun? Doing that.
Reselling it all.
But I guess.
That's the difference between you and me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, we have been doing this for 10 years.
I know. I was thinking about that. Like, I'm seeing, like, people like John Hancock, you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Metal Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, John Ricks. They have been doing this for so long.
Yes.
That they have to... do like a evolution and do something else.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yes. So
if I'm still collecting NES games only 11 years later, there's something wrong with me. Like I gotta keep going.
Keep finding new things to collect. Yeah. Because that's what I'm always looking for. You know, that's how I got into collecting T-shirts. I even collect CDs, comic books.
You know what? I'm scared to get to that
garbage pail.
Yeah. I'm scared to get to that point. And probably that's why sometimes when I show you what I got, you're like, oh, dude, that's awesome. I miss those days.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you tell me that online.
I find the best thing is when you do find a new thing to collect for. When you first start collecting for something, it is.
I remember when I found VHS again, I was like, oh, baby.
Yeah, the
like,
collect. It just hit. Oh, it's amazing. I know.
What, but you'll get there again. Again, not that you lose the passion, never lose the passion. Yeah, no. I still to this day, when I find an NES game, I get all happy.
You have to
inside.
Collect something.
You just have to make sure that you're having, no matter what it is, I don't care if you're a scumbag reseller or you're anything, whatever you're doing, as long as you're having fun doing it, that's the validation. 100%.
Everybody have the right to do whatever they want to do with their games.
How they want to do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
For me, I never wanted to go for full sets. As much as I would love to go for NES full set, it's just space constraints more than anything. I was always worried about it. I didn't want to put in my house the big wall. So I've always just gone for, I like collecting the top 5 to 10 rarest games for literally every platform. Cool. It could be Wii, it could be PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2. I collect the top 10 games I like the best.
that could be a whole nother topic. Collecting things that you don't even like.
I don't, but like, what's the big one for Wii? Like Third Blind or
Fritz Chess?
Oh, that's Wii U.
Devil's Third. I have a Devil's Third. Like, I'll collect all those really rare games.
Devil sold that
all
one too.
All those garbage games.
I saw it.
Garbage load trash.
Yeah, I'll never play that, but I like collecting that way. Yeah. But that way, it's space. I only have 10 for each system, but I'm collecting the whole gamut. I mean, for Sega Master System to 32X.
Which you also ranked low. You fake collector, you.
I think that's the most important thing every collector, man, is the space.
It's space.
Oh, it's huge.
It's the space. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to repeat myself here. After I'm done with the NES whole collection, 75%, I'm going to sell it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to sell it.
Pick the ones you want
to play. You know what? To be honest, I start doing kind of business of, you know, showing somebody like, okay, you need this game. After I'm done, I'm going to sell it to you.
Oh, nice. You have it for them.
Yeah. I mean, what is wrong with that? I don't have the space. I know I'm not going to play those games.
Yeah, but let me tell you what's wrong with it. Nothing.
Okay, cool.
But the internet will tell you there is.
Oh, yeah. There's always going to be.
Hey,
look at me. I'm a pro.
We talked last night.
I feel like 10 feet high behind a keyboard.
Man,
we'll talk about it later.
I wish the audio listeners could hear this one.
Will you try to sell it as a whole lot once you complete it, or will you piece it out, you think?
You said piece it out. We asked you this before.
Yes, yes.
Oh, did we ask that? Yeah. I couldn't remember.
Old man forgetting.
I will try to help.
Yo, he's getting on Christmas. Old.
I will try to help other collectors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like other collectors and sellers are helping me.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to do. And I guess the sports games and the cheapy one is going to be Riffle. Yeah. There you go.
Here's my double dribble.
Hey, you want those that red label blades of steel? Maybe you can flip it in one. Yeah. Here you go.
I always love it when people like give a little hate for like when they're buying it from a if you're buying something at a convention, you're buying it from a reseller. And the person buying it's like, yes. Don't worry, it's for my collection. I'm not a reseller. I'm like, you realize the guy you're buying it from right behind you is a reseller.
Yes.
Like, I don't know what to tell you here. Like, everybody at some point, like, did you go buy milk at the store today?
Yeah.
Surprise, you bought from a reseller. Like,
you know, every time that I think about it, and I'm guilty.
We all are.
I'm not saying I'm the purest here.
Oh, he's the most guilty.
But I'm guilty, too.
Secret guilty.
But I came to realize, like, what's wrong? Is my games, is my life, is my wallet, is my space? Why you have to? Where is the camera? Where is the main one?
Let's see. This one.
Hey,
tell him, Gabo.
Hey, come on. Relax.
Yeah. But hey, just so you know, that'll be a topic we're bringing up today, too. So
yeah,
save your screaming at the camera.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I got. I drink energy drinks. So
ooh,
I got
he's gonna go wild.
Perfect.
No, but to end this, you know, rambling or whatever, come on, man. There's nothing wrong what you do with your stuff.
Yes.
Right? So him selling his stuff, that doesn't mean he's a reseller scumbag and you have to crucify him, right?
Of course not.
Don't
care, though.
Yeah.
People say it.
See, that's another thing. I need to learn not to care.
Yeah.
And that's part of the conversation we had last night.
Well, it's interesting when like people in the community be like, you sold your games, you don't care. And I'm like, do you realize my shirt collection is probably worth more than the NES set? Like, I collect certain other things as well.
Think about it. You really care. Because you're selling it in a platform to other collectors to buy it.
Totally.
And you're making people happy.
So, this is what I have never understood about the hate for resellers. It's all a big circle.
It's
like
a giant circle.
You collect and you sell, then you go collect something else and you sell. The premise that, you collect and then have to hang on to it for your whole life. Like, where did
that come
from?
I think as long as it finds an appreciative end goal, like end user, then that's where it should be.
As long as everybody along the way is enjoying what they either are collecting or sold it for, whatever. At some point, you know, people will get hate like for the amount they sold it for. Like, oh, that reseller, you underpaid him. He's happy. If he made his money, he's happy.
Okay.
Now you do what you want with it.
Let me finish this.
Finish him.
Finish me.
Whoa.
Wow. More combat style.
We're not editing nothing.
We go with it, dude.
It is happening. Hop.
Got him.
Yes, Cabo?
It is happiness. Again.
Happiness.
It is happy for you having video game store and reselling. It makes you happy.
Beyond. Yeah, it completes my life.
It is happy for you selling whatnot.
I love
it. It is happy for you selling whatnot.
It's happy and sad. I'm just kidding. It's happy. No.
I know. Nah. It is happy for you selling your stupid papers.
Hey, whoa, yes.
We keep. I don't know how.
I came to the realization that the only way I can get rid of something is I have to archive it, and that's about it. And then I can ready to.
He does archive it.
But it makes you happy, right?
Yeah, yes. Of course.
Okay, so all of you trolls out there, shut up!
Oh,
whoa.
That's it.
Sorry.
The thing is, I don't know how this is so hard for people to understand.
Yeah.
Keep what you want. Don't keep what you don't want. Like, where is the disconnect where the comments will like dive into a way of figuring out a way to tear that apart? It's like, no. That's all you need. Keep what you want. And if you don't want it, don't keep it. And if you don't want it and you do keep it, you're the one who has a problem.
Yeah.
Don't keep things you don't want.
Right.
Here's the thing. That's why I get so frustrated and pissed off. Why people have to be mad because you want to sell something.
I have never understood it. Since I started collecting and I opened my stores, I never understood this premise.
And
I think it's taken years, and we've talked about it before, for finally, I thought we were at the point where reselling was okay accepted.
I think it's a lot of peer pressure from the internet. Yeah. I think it's like anything, right? You hear something enough, you believe it to be true. It was so heavy in the retro scene that you don't resell.
But
you're
I think scumbag. It's getting better.
You're a loser if you do. I know,
I
it is
getting
better.
Way better.
But that mindset is still there. For a
Who
lot.
Cares? I'm guilty because I've been talking smack, and
saying, oh, what a resource comeback. I don't want to be like that.
Yeah, you called us one like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, he told us.
But lately, for the past year.
One of us. Bro, it's like eating at him. You can tell he's like, this comeback.
Can you give me a spot in Whatnot next week?
Absolutely.
All right, cool.
Here's the thing, though.
Gabba the scumbag.
It's weird when the collecting scene like thinks you don't collect unless you're collecting like NES games. It's like, why do you think that's what collecting is? If I was into collecting matches, that could, it's the same thing.
I never understood every time you say, I collect money.
Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah. I did a video like that a long time ago. I never released it because I thought people would get too mad.
I filmed
a video saying, dude, this is my best collection ever. I love it. I'm really passionate. And I turn around and I just start showing different dollar bills on my wall.
Do you know?
just to jump in, though, but I do, just to play devil's advocate, maybe what I've been thinking about this recently, maybe why some people don't like the reselling is they do feel if you're a reseller, you don't appreciate the stuff that you're selling.
That's not true.
For us, we are all collectors.
There are people who don't.
And when we go to, say, the flea markets, right, there are certainly resellers there that are just straight, they're not collecting this stuff. They don't care. So I think there is a difference between maybe that kind of reseller versus you're a collector reseller, yeah, which is what we all are. Of course, we all love this stuff. We're collecting and reselling.
I agree with you 100%, but
It's still not wrong. It's like, we deal with those resellers all the time. I don't have any hate, like, oh, you're a scumbag. You don't appreciate these video games. You're selling me something that I want. I'm happy you're selling it to me.
Yes.
I still don't understand it, but I feel like maybe that's where
that
comes from.
That does clarify a lot of that type of reseller. But in the end, you may not like it, but it's still not wrong.
Right. Of course. It's not, in my opinion.
The world wouldn't exist.
Right.
If we didn't have that.
But we also live in capitalism, which is everything is bought and resold.
USA.
We better go to the next topic.
All righty, guys. We're going to end on that one. We're going to go on our next topic.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
I need to go to the restroom.
Oh, no.
Just go. We'll keep rolling.
Yeah, we'll keep it going.
See ya. Go to the restroom.
All right. Keep going.
Oh, you can come back in, bro.
We'll hold it.
All right. We're going to go on our next topic, guys. It's going to be agree or disagree. But this one's going to be a little bit more interesting today. It's going to be by our fan submittals.
Oh, yeah. So this was fun. Curtis and I were like, hey, let's take it to the internet and let them ask questions.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Where's the restroom?
Straight out the door. Beto will let you go. Gabba, we'll be right back. We'll still keep going without you, bro. Hey, give me a high five.
Yeah, you can just go. Yeah,
give me a high five,
car,
bro.
Dude.
See you when you get back. Wait, are you going poop or pee?
Pee.
Oh, so it'll be quick. All right. Unload that boy. So for now, Chris, me, and Ricky.
Ooh, I'm excited for this. Fan submittals. This will be good. So,
it'll be pretty interesting one.
We'll shout them out, too.
Oh,
nice.
I got this thing turned off. That's not
I got you, bro. Go ahead. You read it, bro.
All right, we're going to go on to our first one.
What's our first?
It's going to be... Give me one second while I get my...
It's going to be
It's going to be by Miguel Delgado, 7209.
Shout out, Miguel Delgado!
Yeah.
Shout out,
Miguel! Thank you for being a great viewer out here.
Yeah.
Yep, and it's going to be, I could play just one genre of video games for the rest of my life.
I could play one genre of video games
for the rest of my life.
I could, and I'd be happy. Thumbs up for me. Ricky and Chris.
Ricky's in real deep thought.
Yeah, I guess I could. Okay, we're all in agreement here. All
right.
Yeah. What now? The obvious question.
You know what? I'm going to change it.
Yeah,
I'm going to disagree.
So Chris is a disagree. We're both agrees. What was your genre that you could be okay with?
It was a side scroller.
Okay, same.
I was a Metroidvania type games. I loved those.
Oh.
That's what my favorite type of games. But then I was like, dang, I would get bored after a while. Like, I love playing all different types of games. I'll play first-person shooters. I'll play real-time strategy games. I'll play turn-based strategy, RPGs. So I love all sorts of games. So I think I would disagree with that.
But Metroidvania is your favorite type of game.
It is, yes.
Nice. Welcome back, Gabba!
Oh, yeah!
Hey, did you wash your hands?
No.
I was going to
say, hi, Chihuahua. Let me smell them. Oh, they're clean, baby.
They are clean.
Those are clean. All right, let's do the next one since
he's
in
here. Do you not want to read it to him?
Nah, we're on the next one now, bro.
All right, we're going to go on our next one. It's going to be by Ava Full. All right, that's the username, and it's going to be, there should be more gateway horror shows like Goosebumps and Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh, this is interesting. So Gabba definitely is confused by this, by these words.
Say it again. There should be more gateway horror.
Yeah, like Goosebumps and Are You Afraid of the Dark?
So Gabba, I'm going to explain it to Gabba in case the rest of the audience is listening with the same face Gabba is. So there's horror movies, right? It's not typically something you show small children, right? So a gateway horror would be like Goosebumps, chillers, things that are like, are you afraid of the dark, scary kid shows.
Like a PG horror movie.
Yeah, yeah. More, should there be more
what
of that
you will
type
show
of stuff?
To your 8 years old.
Yeah, without feeling like, oh gosh, I just showed him someone's head getting ripped off. I'm going to say, read it one more time so I can give it a proper thumbs up.
There should be more gateway horror shows like Goosebumps and Are You Afraid of the Dark?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to agree big
Chris
time.
Is going to agree. Gabo's thinking. Ricky's thinking.
He's 2023, so.
Thanks, Emmy. <Yeah.
laughs> here's the thing. I'm super OG, man, so.
No, thumbs down. You either want him crazy or not at all.
Yeah.
Ricky?
He wants to introduce Tales of the Crypt.
I did enjoy Goosebumps back in the day, so I'll say yeah.
Okay.
I'll jump in on this because it was funny because we were at the flea market over the weekend and I said to your son, Brixton, and I asked him, hey, do you watch horror movies? And he goes, no, not really. I don't. And I was like, well, what about Goosebumps? I actually brought that up to him. Yeah. And he said he had seen those.
He had seen it. We did it at family movie night one time.
Yeah.
We did like the TV shows.
And so it was just interesting that we had actually just talked about that. But for me, I am a huge horror movie fan. Same. Like all this month, which is October now. Yeah. This might come out later, it's but we're best. In October now.
Oktoberfest.
I watch a horror movie every night. I go through all my VHS. I try to get my wife and kid to watch it with me, my son. They refuse to, so I watch them solo. Good. But so I'm more of a fan of, for this question of like, I like the Goosebumps and stuff because like your son is a little bit younger, like getting them into the horror, like introduce them into it. So yes, I
looked at it as the statement of like, we don't necessarily need it. Per se. Not like that was more of the question. Like, we need more gateway. I don't necessarily think we need the gateway, but I think that it's cool when they're there. I guess I'm just always been very hesitant lately of like forced media for the sake of media. I think it's led us to a lot of crappy media. You know what I mean?
I get it.
The new South Park.
I see it like playing Call of Duty without blood.
So it's like playing Mortal Kombat on the Super Nintendo.
It's like, exactly. That's how I see it.
Which, by the way, Chris, I think Mortal Kombat and Super Nintendo is a better game besides the blood.
Then which one?
Than Genesis.
Oh, yeah.
Way better.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Way better.
It controls better. It plays.
Yes.
I thought you were going to hound me and be like, the Mortal Kombat and Genesis is
the
better.
The music, everything.
No, Super Nintendo, way better.
It's the closest to the arcade.
I did just tick my son to, I think it was this, remember the book, Scary Stories?
Yeah.
And with the crazy artwork?
Yes.
I took my son to that movie maybe like 2 years ago. He might have been 12. And so I thought he was old enough to see that. That was a really scary movie. There's a scarecrow scene in there. Like, scarecrow comes to life. Remember that one?
I love scarecrows.
Yeah. He ran out of the movie theater.
That's my favorite film.
He ran out crying, and he was like, Dad, I didn't want to see that. And I was like, dang, I felt really bad.
I feel like there
should
be.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So my kids, not to call them out, but they are so not like it's just not their thing. Like, and I've never tried to push it, never. But like, really? Even them just seeing in, I mean, they can, you can talk to my kids about like, hey, the mafia is a real thing, and they won't sleep if you even talk about it.
Oh, so you don't want
to? No, it frightens the heck out.
It frightens the heck out of my son.
Yeah,
and man, I felt
because
really
you're not like that.
I know, but they don't like that stuff at all.
I'm so numb to it now.
Oh, so am I. I'm a huge horror guy.
I feel like there should be like more like Twilight Zone type of feels.
That's a great one.
Oh, Twilight Zone was awesome.
See,
that was
that's very adult and anybody.
Yeah, and I watched that a ton as a kid. Man, that was
Twilight Zone is so good. Talking Tina is one of my favorites.
I don't remember that.
I'm Talking Tina, and I'm going to kill you.
All right, we're going to go on our next one. It's going to be by Tom Malika, 420.
Thank you, Tom Malika. Why 420, Tom?
Yeah, why? All right, and this is going to be...
Is that Mikey?
This one's going to be, people who say deals are dead just aren't looking.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
We popped that door.
Thumbs up.
So people that say, thank you, Curtis. People that say deals are dead aren't looking. I am a firm believer.
Firm.
Oh, firm. Because even like we see it in the comments all the time. It's dead. You guys are just lucky. People hold stuff for you. The amount of times you go to swap meet and see people who are just randoms like, hey, dude, check out what I found. Symphony of the Night for $5 last week.
Dude, yeah. It's insane.
I got two samples.
Let's hear it.
Brown card.
And
you want a deal? Just get a brown car.
No, no.
Hey, internet! If you want a good deal, just be Mexican. Yeah, that's it.
No, no.
Wait. What are you? Puerto Rican, El Salvadorian, Colombia. Hey.
Just be a little bit more of a tint than white.
Brown is just don't white. Look like Curtis and Ben. Yeah. Hey,
brown is blue the eyed. New white.
Yeah, you got blue eyes. Don't even ask for the deal. No. Just walk away.
Hey, come on. You know what I'm saying. And the other thing is the Golden West Mafia.
Oh, yeah, that's us.
So, I mean, there's deals everywhere.
Or you could be like our engineer back there, Beto, bro. He's Hispanic as it gets, but he's white. Beto, what color are your eyes?
Green.
Beautiful green eyes. He's the guy that could pull anything, any car.
The first time I met
little
him.
Little man crush.
Superhero.
The first time I met him, he starts speaking Spanish. I'm like, whoa, what is that?
I think it's the definition of a deal. I think there's a lot of people out there that just still want to get things for like dirt cheap. $1, they got stuck on the $1. I used to buy NES games for $1. And I think a lot of people just get hung up and they get stuck there. Well, 10 years ago, I paid $1. That's not the case anymore. You might have to pay $5.
But I paid gas 10 years ago.
Right, you might have to pay $6. But we are out hunting. I'm out every single week, whether it's estate sales, garage. I don't do garage sales, flea markets all the time. Just meeting people like through the internet, like, oh yeah, I have this collection. Find deals constantly. But the deals that I'm finding are not $1 all the time. It's like,
of course not.
It's they're good deals in my opinion. But even half price, 60% of value
a deal for me.
Is good.
Yeah. A deal when you see a YouTube video and people are finding stuff, yes, they're posting their finds, but they don't just walk up and it magically appears. These people are looking. Most of these people, when they tell you, like game hunting shows, especially back in the day, we're uploading the highlight reel, right? We're not giving you the 40 booths we went to and dug through trash.
The other thing to keep in mind is if you're getting into the flea market, if flea marketing is what you're doing and you're rolling in at 10, 11 o'clock, forget it. The deals are gone. Oh,
yeah. All the hunters.
Right. We are, and I used to not want to be a vampire hunter. I am a vampire hunter.
Baby, we got him.
And by vampire hunter, I mean I am up at the crack of dawn. Yeah. The alarm goes off at 4:30 in the morning, and I am there.
Especially for estate sales.
Pitch black. Estate sales. We are there in the black darkness with flashlights to get the deals. Yep. You got to put in time.
You know what thing? I have to wake up to meet with these guys in the SWAT meet at 4.
Yeah.
4. Yeah,
yep. So you're putting in the work. To be there at 6.
Yeah, just to get those.
Curtis lives like 5 minutes from the swap meet. He still gets there at like 5 a.m.
I live closer than Curtis does. I could walk to the swap.
Ricky, are deals dead to you?
No, dude, deals are everywhere. You just have to look. I guess it's not even about like looking. Sometimes it's just like knowing the right people as well. Like for us, like a lot of times, same vendor, let's say they bring out a ton of stuff. You know, like we said, you overpay for a little stuff and then they'll bring in other stuff and they'll hook it up here and there.
A million times. You make that communication, baby. You make it where, I mean, we've said it before.
It's a mafia. Dude.
We went from people not knowing us at the swap meet, maybe even not even liking us, to now when we show up, hey, Rip for Pixel Game Squad. Yeah. Like they're just like that. That's
well, it's your fault, too.
I know.
But, I mean, I think as of recent, it's changed a lot. Because, I mean, like, within the last year, I mean, I feel like more vendors have been more openly, like hey, you're on camera? And they're like, how many subscribers?
I think it, like, almost, like, I almost think, like, recently, really like, the whole swap meet, like, talked without us there. And, like, hey, these guys, like, have a show. And I feel like, what are you making? What face are you making? He calls us the swap meet mafia.
No, I was talking with him yesterday, and we was joking for some other. They was making fun of me because, I think in the last two events, I was asking for deals when the item was already a deal.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I was asking stop a deal.
We've talked about that before.
They was giving me, you know, they was making fun of me. But I was saying,
no.
At least I don't have a mafia in the swap meet.
I have to say, Gabos, we're at the swap meet. And the homie goes, yo, I have this Hagane manual. It goes for like $500. Gabo's like, okay, I'm going to go really big, give you a big offer, $100. And I'm like, do you not realize you aren't even offering him remotely close to value?
His face
was funny. It was funny.
It's okay. But you know what is funny?
Huh?
I tested him like a couple of days after that. He told me, I just sold it.
How much did he get?
I don't know. He didn't tell me, but
if he sold, he probably got pretty good.
Yeah, but I'm happy. I think it's Miguel. His name.
Wow, that was a funny one for me.
All right, we're gonna go on to our next one. It's gonna be by another user, JDog3133, and it's gonna be sweatpants are better than jeans.
No,
Oh, big yes. Yeah. Big yes.
I'm wearing like those swishies, so I kind of think they're kind of a mix.
Okay.
I like them.
For the swap sweats.
Oh, man, I'm going to get so much heat in this one. I'm going to have to, like, cover my eyes when I talk to you guys.
I switched years ago. Like, I'll wear jeans when I'm going out with my wife on a Friday night. I won't wear sweatpants out to dinner. But my regular attire now is all sweatpants.
Yeah, Chris looks like a track star when he goes
always. I don't wear jeans until it's Friday night.
The world's biggest red Marlboro backpack and tracksuit, dude. That's Chris at the swap.
Yeah, I made the switch to sweatpants. It's the best move ever.
I don't know how you can do it, bro.
I don't want to say. Everyone's going to hate me.
Dude, I work in the field.
Never said this out loud before.
All week and wearing jeans, and you think I want to wear jeans in the weekend?
Do I get mad wedgies, do you?
That's what ruined it for me.
Well, I know that.
Now you guys know my secret to never stop working.
Wear shorts.
Dress like you're not working, you won't work as hard. Ask my wife. Ask what time I take off my shoes and socks at night. Midnight, 1 o'clock. All day I'm in full outfit, fully dressed, every day.
What?
No, I'm serious. And I know because if I take off my shoes and change into something comfy, I start not working as hard. That's how I do it. That's my thing.
I just made this my work attire. This
What is that? What is that? What was that called when like companies were super into that? Like everybody can wear like sweatpants and like there's no debt. I forget what that's called.
Something Tuesdays. It was
no, that was Casual Friday.
Casual Friday.
Ricky saw Tuesday. Ricky's just thinking Taco Tuesday. Let's go. It's all Ricky.
Dang.
Ricky knows he's gonna eat, so he puts on the sweatpants for Taco Tuesday.
Here's the secret.
Here's the secret. Let's go.
Go to Costco and buy like two or three of the same. So I got like three of those.
I don't lift it up too high, man.
Yeah, bro. Relax with that, bro. I'll be honest. Yeah.
I wear. I'm not like this guy.
No, real talk. Real talk. I don't wear sweatpants. Obviously, you guys aren't. But I feel lazy when I'm in them. That's it. So I don't wear them.
You just don't have thighs.
And by sweatpants, these are like Nike. I mean, they're sweatpants, but they're like a different.
Yours
like track.
Are borderline not sweatpants. That's right, why I would like argue those cotton. Are more like workout attire.
Right.
I'm talking Shady J sweatpants.
So there's another reason.
With ball stains and everything.
Why I like this, because I go to the gym every morning and I don't need to change. I'm not sweating. I'm not like running miles like you're running all the time. I can go to the gym in these. I'm not going to go to the gym in jeans.
You don't change after you go to the
no.
gym.
No. But I'm just lifting.
Wow. Are you working out?
Yeah, but I just lift.
Yeah.
But no problem.
Wow. Well,
everybody does not. Let him smell his own.
Now I know what is that smell.
You just let those things bake all day.
Hey, quick.
You're crazy.
I'm just lifting weights with upper body, and I don't sweat at all.
Quick question for you.
No, you're a very clean guy.
What do you use to run? The khaki pants?
I wear shorts, bro.
Khaki shorts? Like those?
No. I have very short running shorts. They're very thin.
Like running shorts?
Straight up running shorts. Okay, 5-inch inseam, always.
Yeah, because you always show us your chest. Like, I'm winning.
Beto's laughing back there. Hey, and will I say Gavin is accurate on that? Absolutely.
Yes. Everybody.
Well, let me be real. Every time you guys text me, I'm usually running because I run for hours a day.
When you get some free time. Sometimes we don't have to text you. He sent a message like.
That is not true at all. A video message, maybe if I'm talking, I'll be like, hey, what's up? Hey, yeah, guys, I'm here, blah, blah, blah.
Bro, I got proof.
Oh, baby. Hey, bro, I charge for those, all right? Don't show other people on the internet.
I always say, oh, I like it. Give me more.
You do. You always do. So I was like, hey, bro, what's up? Go lower.
I always put the icon on.
Oh.
All right. We're going to probably go on our next one. We're going to have to continue that a later date with the user fan submittals. But thank you guys for all doing that. We got a bunch more on those. So anyway, we're going to go on to our next topic. It's going to be hiding or deleting comments. Should it be justified?
Ooh. Oh, boy. So this goes as far as you have a YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel. We're on Whatnot together with Curtis. He handles comments. You own a store.
Instagram. Yeah.
Instagram.
Facebook.
So, hiding and deleting comments. So let's kind of give this a back. It's a very, there is a little bit more complexity in it because obviously I'm a huge believer in free speech, right? Huge. Everything. It's everything to me as a bleeding red American. Heck yeah, you know, free speech. But when you own something or it's your domain, it's your world, you know, I look at YouTube as like this is like our place. Like when you click on Pixel Game Squad, our main channel for those who don't know, that's like Pixel Game Squad world. I want it to be just like a business. Like Disneyland, they want their place to be ran a specific way. They won't even stop you if you're stealing because they don't want it to ruin the magic, right? So I feel like on YouTube, however you want to let your YouTube channel be portrayed is completely up to you. If it's something that's within the guidelines of you being allowed to do. If you're allowed to delete comments, whether you like it or not, which we'll go into, whether we do like it or not, you do have that ability to do it. There is also hide user, which is a great one, which is one of my personal favorites. We should tell people who don't have a YouTube channel. So let me, this might hurt some people who don't know. Let's say you've been in our comment section for a very long time saying mean things that just, they're not necessarily, we love constructive criticism. I actually very much love constructive criticism. But if every week you're just like, Gabo's stupid. Riff, if you put on weight, Ricky's dumb. I don't like the way his wife talks. We can hide you and you don't know you're hidden. You're excited every week when you leave that comment. Oh, I got him again. You can see your comment. Nobody else can. I know you're signing into all your alternate accounts and liking it to make yourself feel good, but nobody else can see that comment. So there's a lot of different things you can do YouTube. You can ban people. I'm not a fan of banning people per se, but I'm curious. And I'll go into my thoughts. That's not like my deep thoughts about should you be deleting. Do we delete? Ooh, there we go.
Yeah, what is the justification behind it?
Have we done it yet? Mm-hmm. Let's jump into you first, which is interesting because we're on the YouTube side. You're on Instagram, a store. What is like where you're level of like feeling like you need to delete things or remove things, or do you and you just let it roll?
So we have been running the Instagram and Facebook with the stores for probably 13 years now. Have I don't even know 20,000-30,000 followers between all the platforms. When we first opened the store and I got on social media, there was just toxic comments that used to come in. Initially I was like, man, I didn't want to get into banning people. I felt like, okay, well, you should have the right to say whatever you want to say. I've since moved way far away from that. I'm in the realm of like, this is my space. Like, this is our stores. If you don't
You're
like
my space?
But this is like, my space with the stores, like you said, with your YouTube channel. If you're not a fan of what we're doing and you're just here to hate on it, then you just don't belong here. You know, and it's not that you don't have the right to have an opinion. You do, but you're just being nasty after a while. I've just gotten to the point where I don't have time for it. If somebody's going to leave a nasty comment, I just block instantly. I just don't want to deal with it. Now, there's varying degrees of what's nasty. If you don't like the price of something, that's not nasty. I'm not going to block you for that.
And that's constructive criticism.
That's constructive criticism. Hey, but if you come on and just go, you guys are a bunch of idiots. Your stores suck. Like, it's like, well, you're not a good customer. You're never going to shop at our stores. I don't even want you in this community, my community, which is the store community.
What I've never understood on that line is so many people, we'll use Phoenix Resale example, right? I've seen it before. People who go in there week after week and talk trash. What camera am I on? What am I on? Let's see.
Probably
this one.
That one.
No, I'm on this one. This one. Why are you there? Like, what is wrong with you mentally that you think you need to keep going into someone that you don't enjoy watching? It's like we talked about earlier with collecting. If you're not enjoying it, why are you doing it? You don't like this person. Why are you watching them? I truly don't understand. Like, if I don't like a channel, bye. That's it. Yeah. Bye. Yeah. I'm out. I'm never going to watch you. If I don't like you, maybe I'll give you a second chance sometime. But I don't understand the desire to go there. And then we'll talk about this later. The people that like make the channels to talk crap on people.
Oh, yeah.
What do you do with your life? Like, I genuinely feel bad for these people. Like, do you have a family? That's not a productive use of your time. But yes, go ahead. Sorry. I have a lot to say.
Me?
I like Beto back there. He was laughing at us. Yeah. For some reason, Beto's back there. He's like, I'm saying something super serious. He's like,
that was me.
This remind me of the first time I got a memo from Rifo when I, being the squad.
Okay.
And it was a long time ago when I engaged with a troll in the comments.
Oh, you engaged with a troll?
I remember you sent me a message directly to me, say, Gabo, don't do that. And I will not say why, because it's self-explanatory. Yeah. But going to my channel, I still small channel.
You still have your own channel, though. I mean,
and
you have a great amount of people who love you, bro. So don't underplay that.
Thank you, and I love everybody.
You, puppy.
Including us. Puppy. Chris doesn't really like you.
I love Gavin.
I'm just kidding.
No, I mean.
No, we don't. You have a great, loyal people who
Riff's
love
like this,
you.
And then he's like, hey, you love Gavin, don't you?
He kicked me.
Now like, we love you.
Put us on a tier list.
No, I mean, my channel is different as the squad, of course.
Of course.
And I want to accomplish other stuff in my channel. And everybody knows I'm a people's person. I'm lucky so far. I knock on Chris.
That's the worst luck ever. Don't do that.
I don't have the toxicity yet. But one thing I will not tolerate is when this troll start like making fun of somebody else in the comments. Like, yes. For example.
100%.
Like, for example, this cool dude say, like, Gabo, I know you're bald, and I like you like that. And
bald?
Yeah, bald.
Okay, bald.
No hair. It's a sample.
Yeah.
And here comes this troll trying to be funny. Look at me, I'm funny.
Yeah.
And say, oh, so you are homosexual because you like his... Right?
Yeah, things see, that is what you call the definition of a dumb internet.
Yeah, I'm not going to tolerate that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know there's trolls like that over there. But, you know, I try to reply every comment. I love trolls because I love trolling back too. Okay, like giving him a lesson.
Yeah, yeah.
But the only thing I'm not going to tolerate is the bullying.
See,
I don't like that.
I don't like trolls, and I've long gave up on engaging.
Yeah.
It never ends. Anyway. I don't feel like you ever win.
There is
you're
no
like,
winning.
Oh,
no.
Wow, I really got that
I
guy.
Lean into it. I like it. When someone calls me like a Walmart or a budget, I'm like, man. And then they go, oh, actually, you're kind of target tier. I'm like, bet. At least I'm in that.
I've always just felt the best thing to do is just ignore it. I just now like... Whenever that happens, I just like, just ignore it.
Definitely,
that's how I handle it.
That's the best thing to do. But like Curtis, and I think we are similar because we can say he's new with the squad, with the community, and I'm new with my own channel, right? So maybe
it's different.
Yeah, maybe we still have that. You know, we don't have that experience.
Totally. Yeah.
That's and what I used. Don't get me wrong. I used to engage, but every time I've done it, I'm just like, I never feel good about it after. I'm like, oh, I feel disgusting. So you get in a name-calling match with somebody you don't even know, and you're like, what the heck was the point of that? And then you're thinking about it, and it's just not even worth it. Because then you carry that around on your shoulders. Just let it go.
Yeah, that's
true. I hopped off social media like 7 years ago, and I stayed off until we made the podcast and all that stuff. Because I just was like, I don't need that filter or whatever it is in my life where it's like I have people telling me to be a certain way. And then like I even see the comments, but for the most part, like I am like there is like one or two, but then there's like 20 others that are just amazing, right? The other two are just gonna be like, oh, whatever, dude. Like I'll just lean into your troll.
Yeah.
I have thick skin. I don't really care what anybody thinks, really. I just see them and I'm like, whatever. It's funny.
We're lucky enough that we've never grown like in a viral way. So it's been very community driven at a slow pace, which I think Marquise Brownlee recently like made some comment. He's one of the biggest YouTube reviewers out there saying like that's like the best thing that can happen to you, like that you grow significantly, you know, past 100K or whatever it may be, which luckily and thankfully to all of you guys, we did on Pixel Game Squad. But it was never through virality because you're always bringing your community with you. Yeah. Right. So we are lucky enough and blessed enough to have a 99% great comment section.
Oh, yeah.
Now, have we deleted comments? Yes. But absolutely. But it's for the same reason you said. I'm okay with you guys suck. I'm okay with this was dumb. Whatever. I'm okay with constructive criticism. I don't like the way this is edited. This is really dumb. You know, you guys should try this way. That's all great. But the minute they talk crap about my homies, only we can talk crap about our homies because we're homies.
And I think that social media like can actually be a really awesome place when it's positive. Like I'm on Instagram all the time. That's my... you know, social media of choice. And if it's positive, you can have great interactions with people. And when a troll or the negative stuff comes in, it just ruins it. It's just bad.
Like, yeah, you wonder just, like, but you think like, why are you here?
Yeah.
Like that's just, really always the question in my head. And a good example for us, Ricky, we've seen it like even on Whatnot. Like people will just randomly come in and say things, and you're like,
"See, Whatnot is rough because it's constant.
It's live,
live,
and it's live."
How do you feel, Ricky, when we're live? It is different, and you know, there's maybe, you know, there's a good amount of people in there, but let's say 30 people are actively commenting. How do you feel when one comes in? It's like,
dude, it kills the whole, it kills the vibe because, dude, those, the, our whatnot crowd is awesome. They're like the coolest. I love joking around with them because they are awesome. And you got this one dude, all, it doesn't happen every time, but it does come around. And then we also get these other trolls that, you know, we'll have an item and you know what they do.
What, when they want certain things that aren't there or what?
Yeah, kind of like that. Or but they, no, when they bid, like...
That is the worst trolls. That's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
But they'll bid $1,000 an item and it won't go through.
That'll be a good topic for later on. Yeah. Chill building.
People do that on purpose?
Yes. Wait, I got to say this. One of our... And this isn't necessarily comments, but it kind of... I guess it does. Reviews, right, of your game store. Those are comments.
Oh.
We've had people... On whatnot, this is the most example. I'm sorry if you're listening. I truly am, but example of, I hate to say it, but stupidity, just plain and simply. Imagine I'm selling you this right now. And I say, hey, man, I'm selling you this. And someone goes, hey, in the comments, hey, can you include that water bottle with it too? And I'm like, no, I can't. I'm not doing that.
Bad review.
And they leave a review saying, they didn't give me the water bottle. And I'm like... I multiple times, thank goodness, whatnot. I will say props to you guys now that I have video receipts, which has saved us like literally 10 reviews. If we have luckily like 3,000 five-star reviews that are all great. But every once in a while, people want things that like we never said.
Yeah.
So do we want to get those comments deleted? Absolutely, because they're not true. Now, we have left a couple up. If we've made a mistake, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to fight that. Yeah, we made a mistake. We thought that this was working, but when it got there, it didn't work. Sure, leave it there, and we'll DM us, and we'll work something out. So,
can I say something real quick?
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Say something
actually,
long, quick.
Two things.
Oh, not that long.
No, quick. Yeah. So I can say we are lucky and we are blessed that the followers we have, Pixel Game Squad, Pixel Plus, and my channel, is the best.
They are.
The toxicity, the toxic Avengers is only like 1 or 2%.
Tiny percent.
The rest is freaking awesome, man.
Which is why
it's
never worth it to let the one tiny person get to you, because there is such a great community out there. Yeah. So the one amazing person wants to ruin it, it's just not even worth it.
And
I've long gotten over it. I'm just like, okay.
And the other thing, I'm going to give you guys the perfect example.
Let's hear it.
Phoenix Resale.
Okay.
There's a lot of hate out there for him. But you know what? He's the perfect example. Since
Siege,
South Carolina, mm-hmm, and even this past weekend, I spent a lot of time with him. And, hey, Toxie Avengers, I don't understand. The guy's super cool.
He's the nicest guy in the world in person. I don't know if maybe just his videos, he comes across a different way. Maybe because he's just reselling.
He does what people... Can't stand the reselling.
Honesty. Right.
Yeah, I'm going to sell this.
Honest.
Just so you know, I'm buying this and I'm going to sell it. Sorry that I'm on.
Dude, he is the same person as you are on camera and off.
And in person, he is genuinely awesome. One of the nicest guys I've ever met.
You guys remember what he did in South Carolina?
Which one?
He bought like 3 boxes of donuts to give it to the sellers.
Yeah.
Without
McDonald's?
Donuts.
Yeah.
Donuts. I'm a giver. I even do that. So
he was also a businessman when he did it because he's buttering the people up. But either way,
you see it that way.
No, I don't.
I see it.
In the video, he made a joke saying,
I see it like I was talking with him. I spent a lot of time with him, especially in South Carolina, and we was talking, and I was like, bro, I don't understand why people hate you so much. You're super awesome. But he loved it. He liked it.
It's just because he's the reselling, I think.
I think he's the most resellery without any shade of being like, I'm not a reseller, right? Everyone will kind of give you like, I resell, but also I really collect. Like they make sure, but he's like, yeah, I resell full on. I'm here to make money. Thank you. Have a good day. Like he's being honest about it.
But that business.
He's 100% been at business.
Yeah. Right? So yeah, that's an example how the toxic Avenger can bring toxicity to a channel.
And advice to YouTubers too, like, you know, don't let it get there. Stay away from it. Don't engage. Don't talk. The minute you start talking to them, they'll want to keep doing it. I admit, wow, this is a perfect day. I'm not going to say the guy's name, but I had to search up something for a video. I was editing Caleb's video, and I had to search Caleb editor riff because I need to find a clip of me with him with one of our friends Elliot.
Yeah.
So I searched that up Caleb Editor Riff, and a video came up in my feed with like 3,000 views, and it was like Editor Riff something Phoenix Resale, and guess what I did? Nothing. I didn't click on it. Didn't
just
blink.
Go buy it.
Move on.
Who cares?
Cool. Yeah. I didn't even click on the video.
No, it's not worth it.
Because it cannot be a part of your day. Yeah. And if you are one of those people who hates on people, makes videos, that's fine. That's life, right? We have, I'm sure there's people with differing political opinions that fires us up when we think about it. But there's a level of when things make sense to talk about and within groups and things that don't make sense to talk about. And that's the kind of comments that we'll hide, that we'll delete, that are just
I'm learning
useless.
That part.
And you'll get, it's just time.
I commit the mistake like a month ago. I think I know what is the video. There's,
I don't want to know it. Don't tell me. I don't care.
No, it's you say it already. Okay. So it comes to my feed in YouTube, one stupid guy that do one of those, sorry, but do those videos like criticizing. That guy even talks smack about Chase after the right price.
See, when you know when someone talks crap about Chase, they're not watching.
Dude. Yeah. And I came across one video talking about you and Phoenix Resale. And yeah, I commit the mistake of watching the video and I get mad.
Yeah, see what it can
watching
do your day?
That and that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't make sense. They don't know us. They don't know you. They don't know Caleb.
Yep.
Why they have to talk like that? So it's so.
Well, it's only gonna be the. Sorry to interrupt you, Chris, but it's only gonna be the time like you're gonna be putting yourself out the world to judge, and that's it. Like,
it's a toxic avenger. Yes. So.
I mean, there's different sayings for one being like having thick skin. There's another one that I would recommend. I would recommend anybody to read this book. It's a book called The Art of Not Giving an
F. Yep, I know that. I know
that. Which is an amazing book about really, it's not that you don't give an F about life and people around. Of course you care. It's that art of not giving an F when stuff like that happens.
Yeah.
And what it's taken me years. It's something you have to train yourself to where that stuff almost like just bounces off you and reflects and you no longer care about it.
The reality is
you just don't care. I don't care about it.
Don't
it has no impact on me.
A stranger on the internet, literally a stranger on the internet, dictate your feelings for the day, which is a big thing I've been practicing lately, and I recommend it to a lot of people, even you guys. I've made it a habit where I do not look at my phone until like I am out the door and I need to. I don't need to see anything. I want to go outside. I want to be smiling, do what I need to do, and walk out the door. Like,
that's basically
free of
what
the
you
internet.
Told me last night.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I admire you guys because I'm not in that level. Mentally, yeah.
I had to work at it for years.
Yeah.
Stuff used to bother me, and I used to carry it with me, and I'd be like, oh, man, that was terrible, or somebody said this, or somebody said that. Once you teach yourself this, it's like having a force field around you.
Yeah.
The stuff doesn't come through anymore.
And you know what? Especially last night, we have a deep conversation last night, and made me love you guys more. Yeah, because there was one thing you told me.
Last night?
Yeah.
What was it?
I'm your friend, and I don't want.
Yeah, yeah. If it's non-repeatable, don't repeat it. Yeah,
I know what you're
exactly.
About.
And at first, me being me, I read that and I was like, but then it took like 1 minute, and going back, say, he really looking after me.
Absolutely.
The same with the Flintstones.
Yeah.
He really and make me love you guys more.
Good. Yeah,
those are the things. There's so many things. I'm so happy and blessed that I have my channel because I'm learning so much.
Yeah,
and I'm starting to understand a lot of things, and value more and more and more, especially you, especially in the editing side, how much sacrifice and time. You spend editing those videos.
Yeah.
And I have to say it. Don't cry. Thanks. He's going to cry. Look.
No, I hope you are.
I thought you were going to.
I thought you were. Chris doesn't even know what we're talking about.
What just happened?
No, I mean, that was in the group, I'm the most soft one.
Basically what happened.
I'm the most soft one.
And we can't, obviously won't say because it does deal with some community stuff. It's some community stuff. But basically Gabo let some stuff get to him that I didn't want to get to him because we care about him. And that's it. So we just kind of explained to him.
Yeah.
And almost, I agree though, I kind of said it harsh at first. Because I was just, you know, like his friend. I'm not going to butter it up for him. I'm like, you know, just kind of late. But like you said, after you realize, got past the harshness.
If you see the comments, you can see I stop because I was like, what the, like he's mad, but then I'm like, no, here's the thing, in the group with these two, Ricky is like the soft love. Right? Ricky is the one that...
That's what his wife calls him.
Soft love. Soft love. Yeah, no.
Ricky's going to be the one like, okay, bro, he's going to be all right. Rifo reminds me a lot of my dad. He's tough love.
Tough love, yeah.
So he's going to be like, smack wake up. But he's with love.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this because people going back to the Flintstones video... Mm-hmm. People talk a lot about you guys.
Yeah. Like, basically, let's tell the audiences, Gabo was basically put in like this, almost like a panel of people, like, who should get Flintstone Dinosaur Peak, Rick or Gabo? And we got a lot of heat because we're some of Gabo's best friends. And we said, not Gabo. Because at the time, I knew it wasn't the right deal. I knew it was what he was looking for. And behind the scenes, I just knew it wasn't the right time for you, which is obviously more personal stuff, which I won't say.
Yeah.
And... we got a lot of heat for it from people. Yeah. You guys thought you guys were his friend. You vote for Rick, blah, blah, blah. I knew it was the season for Rick to do it. I knew it wasn't the season for Gabo. And what ended up happening?
Yeah, maybe it's my fault too, the way I edit that part.
I liked it.
Yeah, but I did as a joke when I put like...
My friends betray me or whatever. Yeah.
It was a joke.
But that's what friends do.
Because that's going to be the difference between Gabo in the Pixel Game Squad and Gabo, side project.
Yeah.
Mine doesn't have filter, and mine is for a mature audience, so it's different. But anyways, he, like we always say, Ristradamus, because he ended up being right.
What do we say?
Basically, what ended up happening is Gabo's season came after that, and he got it. At the better price, a better timing, he got it for much cheaper and better condition with us there.
But so, did you say Ristradamus?
Ristradamus. Oh, yeah,
I don't claim that, but I like you loving on me. Thank you.
Yes, because
I know you're loving.
He did it like five times.
So it's good advice.
We don't want to get into
harsh advice that was good advice, apparently.
And as long as you're having fun doing it, man, and you know the true story, then it doesn't matter what anybody else will think, man.
Be loving out there.
I love you, don't stop, man. Okay. Be you. All right, we're going to go on to our last topic. It's going to be cartoons that should have been made into video games or our favorite consoles. So cartoons that should have been video games for our favorite consoles.
Let's clarify this because there's a lot of shows out there that you might, like your brain initially will be like, dude, I loved Bobby's World. I love Eek the Cat. They should have made that a game. A lot of these things got video
games. Yeah,
they got games.
It's unbelievable how many of them.
Yeah, and I did the research to the ones that didn't make it, but like there are ones that didn't make your favorite console. So
got it. Yeah, my number one was going to be Bobby's World. That was like my choice.
They have a Super NES game.
Super NES game.
But he sucks, right?
It's pretty jank. It's like bare bones. I mean, it's Bobby and you're walking around. I always forget the spider's name. Spidey? Spidey?
I can't remember.
I can't remember.
I can think of his Mr. Squash.
And I know Ricky had one. He told us off podcast it was King of the Hill.
Oh, right. King of the Hill.
King of the Hill would have been awesome.
Okay, now to be fair.
I think there's an Xbox game about that one.
No.
No, there's not.
Okay,
no.
Well, let's say this. Let's also like exclude like random PC like Windows games because I feel like there's so many of those.
Count.
Or cell phone games.
I'm pretty sure the ones that I'm going to mention.
Okay, let's let Ricky go his King of the Hill route. What you got with you? What you thinking in your head? What would be the premise though?
Oh, dude, you sell propane and propane accessories and you mow the lawn, bro. Hang out with your... But look.
That's awesome.
Game. There's a Boomhauer stage where you're driving. Like, you know, he drives a crazy car. And then you're Dale killing bugs. I mean, come on, how cool is this?
Well, they did Beavis and Butthead games, so.
Oh yeah, so lots of them.
It'd be something like that, like multi characters. I don't know. I think
for which like system? Which system is this coming out on?
All right, so if I had to pick a system for it, it'd probably be.
So think about the time and everything. What it's gonna do needs to make sense on that console. What's it gonna be?
I'd probably do GameCube.
For that game.
I like that.
With like shell cell shaded kind of thing. Maybe like an alien hominid.
Alien hominid style, yes.
That'd be awesome.
Chris, who you calling next, teacher?
Chris, do you have one?
I do. One of my favorite cartoons growing up, which this again was made later as like way later as a game, and then I guess early on for like Atari ST.
Okay.
Which I didn't even realize. I did have to look this up. Yeah. But Thundercats was one of my favorite games. Cartoons of all time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how did they never actually, like, if that was on NES, I would have loved to played it on NES. Because that was the height, like at the end of the 80s. I loved it. Like, it could have just been a side-scrolling Lionel with the sword, you know, going through. Yeah.
Thundercat, like,
oh, you could have put the thing up. Thundercats could have the noise.
What console?
Yeah. NES.
NES.
So
Super NES would have been incredible, but even NES would have been amazing.
I had to do a lot of research on, like, Thundercats, because Thundercats was one of those, like, those notable games that I was like, oh, they didn't make one, but they did for DS.
Nintendo DS, yeah.
There was a, like, I went in and this guy named Larry Bundy Jr., who was a YouTuber, did a review for Thundercats that was supposed to come out for the NES, but got canceled by the developer.
Saw that. There's a cover art for the NES game.
Right.
Which looked incredible.
It was done by Elite, which was a game developer that was supposed to do it for the NES, but they only did it for, like, the Commodore 64 and a couple other things.
Curtis, with the research. Well,
and I read this, too, actually. I read the same article. The guy had
Curtis had his shine.
No, but, like, I even told you guys, I was like, that's going to be a little bit of research.
It was going to be a port of the Atari game. It did come out on Atari ST, which is one of my favorite systems, by the way.
They did an 8-bit version and a 16-bit version.
Yeah, it was going to be a port of that to the NES, but it never came out.
And so, like, two other games came up.
We need to find the prototype. Dude, maybe there's a prototype of Thundercats out there.
That cover art was so sick. I was like, that's the game that I would
have
picked.
Yeah. I have a few of them, but that was.
There's a Thundercat game on the DS.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah. From 2012. And
he said?
Yes.
Gavel was like, wait for a moment. So he's like, guys, don't worry. Is on the DS.
What an awesome choice, man. Being Lionel and just like.
Oh, it would have been so good.
Yeah. All right. So, Gavel, did you have one?
I got two quick ones.
I love how you always
You can go into depth, man. Don't worry.
Go for it, bro.
Silverhawks.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good one. That was on my list.
Super rare cartoon. Older. I think it only lasts like 3 seasons.
Was it like late 80s?
Yeah.
Early 80s?
Middle 80s.
I think, I could be wrong, though. I think there was a game for Famicom for that.
Silverhawks?
I think so. I could be wrong.
Okay.
Because I was looking that up.
Yeah, you can look that up, too.
I'll look it up while you guys are
talking. I don't remember the cartoon. It's H-A-W-K-S?
Like Silverhawks.
Silverhawks.
You'll notice the helmets. They kind of look like
It was like the same people that did Thundercats.
Okay.
And for NES, and I seen the game maybe playing like Captain Planet on the NES.
I don't see a game.
No?
I don't see a game.
And I think Captain Planet did make a game.
Yeah, they did. They have the NES. Actually, he's two more.
Right.
The other one is Thundar.
Thundar.
You guys doesn't remember Thundar?
Thundar.
Hanna-Barbera?
Yeah, the Thundar.
No.
Thundar. Thundar.
Okay. Whatever.
Sorry, I was looking up something.
No, it's okay. Okay, discard
that. You have another
one.
No worries.
Okay, Rifo will like this one.
Ooh.
NES.
Okay.
Capcom.
Uh-oh.
Gummy Bears. Disney Gummy Bears.
That would have been a
good one. Yo, that would have been really good.
That would have been cool.
I imagine the same gameplay as DuckTales. Because you remember Gummy Bears, the cartoon.
They bounce.
Bong, bong.
Wow.
That would be
a good one.
Awesome.
Dude, that was a good one.
I think you hit it on the head with Disney Capcom because that style of Gummy Bears.
Is Disney?
It feels very Capcom NES.
Yes.
Wow. I like that, Gabo. That's a good one.
Wait. Now, Rick, you have one.
Dude, I got one. It's newer, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know who's going to like this one, Ricky.
Oh.
So I actually like games like Overcooked. Have you guys ever played that? It's like cooking simulators where it's crazy, but it's fun and things fall down. And No, it's not what you think.
This guy made fun of me about a swap meet simulator, and he's like,
No.
Cooking simulator.
But you have to play
Get out of here.
The audience is not going to agree with you. Trust me. Overcooked is one of the highest rated video games.
Oh, my God.
No, imagine it's crazy, though. Like, everything's crazy. Things get fall. I want a game like that, but I want Bob's Burgers.
Oh, that'd be okay.
So good.
I want a Bob's Burgers themed, like, crazy cooking adventure.
Makes sense.
But again, awesome, I'm not sitting here like, let me roast for 22 seconds and flip. No, I want it to be crazy. The burgers, things catch on fire. They got to go put it out. The competing restaurant comes across the street. Was it Jimmy?
Jimmy Pesto's.
Jimmy Pesto's, yeah. Jimmy Pesto. Yes, I'd want a Bob's Burger, man. I had so many. I didn't want to force a retro pick because all of my retro picks ended up being ones that were already games. So I didn't want to be like,
would you want that in like 8-bit form or 16-bit form or what console?
I think I'd want it like Switch. So ooh, like newer, yeah. Not like.
What about PS5?
Man, I hate to admit it. I'm loving
that,
the PS5.
In that 77-inch TV?
I have to say it on the podcast. So I've said it on the main channel. I am loving the PS5. Gosh, yeah. Dang it.
I told you.
And I've given so you much know, hate.
What are you playing? Yeah.
Huh?
What are you playing?
Right now, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Oh, nice.
It is funny because we gonna get so much fire because, especially Reefo and me, we talk so
much
bad
crap about it.
Did you when it came out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude.
We were Xbox Series
Remember
X or
when
die.
They announced the controller?
We made a video about
we
it.
We made a video. I thought it was like a podcast, right?
Yeah, Squadcast.
The Squadcast. Oh, my God. We talk so much. And look at that.
Well, I bought a PS5 from Gabo, and I was like, all right, if I'm going to buy a PS5, I'm going to go the whole nine yards. So I went to Best Buy, and I literally said, give me the best TV you have. And funny enough, he led me to the TV that you told me to buy. So I was like, well, Gabo was right. He literally said, your friend has good taste. That's the TV you want.
Yeah.
So I got the big boy, basically an 80-inch TV. Then I was like walking out, and the next day I was like, might as well get the best sound bar. So yeah. I go over to another store and get a sound bar. And now, dude, when I'm playing Ratchet and Clank, bro, I'm less like...
You're like in theater mode.
Theater mode,
so
bro.
Good, man.
It's great. I watched Mighty Ducks, the original. Then I watched Mighty Ducks 2 the next night. My kids.
We was debating which movie was going to be the first. You told me Super Mario, the Mario movie.
We didn't end up watching
it. And I told you Save It, Private Ryan.
Oh, my kids would not be around for that one. They would ruin their life.
But man, I'm so happy for you. Seriously.
Yeah, thank you.
Ricky had another game. I
saw you searching in your phone, bro. What were you doing over there?
I was making sure because I knew. I was like, all right, I checked it, but I double checked it. So I had triple checked it to make sure it wasn't a game. Okay. It was a game on a phone. Like that's why I was like, oh, it was like an Android game. Street Sharks. How, after making all those games, all these random games, they never made a Street Sharks game on the Super Nintendo.
That's a good one.
You think it'd be like kind of like TMNT version?
Yeah, we talking beat 'em up. We talking.
We talking beat 'em up, like TMNT.
Dude, Slammo, dude. That's my favorite.
Yes. Come on. Bro. So TMNT, like Super Nintendo game.
Yes.
Like a 2-4 player game with all the sharks.
That'd be insane.
That would be badass. Like Pirate of the Dark Water.
Yes, just like that.
Wow.
Super NES.
Super NES is good.
Because Genesis is a 2D platform, I guess.
I don't think I ever played on the Genesis. But
Super NES is a beat 'em up.
But how crazy is that? Such a big show, but these shows that only lasted like a year, they made that show was only a year and they made a whole game for it.
Oh, like Alien versus Predator, Super NES.
You know what else didn't make it? Mummies Alive.
Mummies Alive.
I never saw a video game for Mummies Alive.
You would love it.
I never saw that cartoon.
You would love Mummies Alive and Monster Force, which is one I recently found. Monster Force was more like of a hidden.
Can I say one more?
Absolutely, yeah. Gabo.
Dude, I know there's games Walking Dead, but we need a good Walking Dead game. Just think about it. You saw some of the series. Some seasons.
Oh, yeah.
You don't think it's an amazing story to do a video game?
Did they only make the Telltale series?
No, they have a VR one.
Right?
They have like a third-person one, but
I just all are bad. Yeah,
he just started naming them.
I mean, there was two other big ones that I wanted to mention because we had talked about it a little bit, Rick.
Yeah.
He-Man. He-Man came out initially on
Atari.
Yeah,
yeah. They have a PS2 one.
Yeah, and it came out later. There was Atari 2600 and Intellivision, which I've seen many times, so I know it came out. And then I don't think it was until like PS3, Xbox 360.
So we missed that.
So there was like a huge gap of like not a good solid game, I feel like. Probably Super Nintendo or NES would have been really good.
Well, you can play with Skeleton in Call of Duty now.
I saw that. Yeah,
I have a few notable mentions if you guys want to talk about
it. Of course you want to hear it, Curtis.
I mean, imagine Captain of the Game Master would have been one.
Oh, Captain N!
Dang.
Why on earth did Nintendo not do that?
Why didn't they?
That's messing
with my head now that it's not a game.
Yeah. I got a better one.
Uh-oh. Are we sure?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Yes. I mean, if Angry Nerd has a video game, Mr. Captain, I know everything NES.
No, thank you.
You have a game.
I'm not near cool enough or popular.
All right, so I got a few more. I mean, you guys,
let's hear it, Curtis.
Tell me a thumbs up or thumbs down, I guess, right now. It's going to be
thumbs up or thumbs down with him.
Cow and chicken.
Ooh. Thumbs down.
Thumbs down. Right.
Triple thumbs down. Well, you got a thumbs up from Ricky?
I'll give you a thumbs up.
All right. And then Angry Beavers.
If you guys I'd say thumbs up on that one.
That would be good.
Thumbs up.
That would be good.
Angry Beavers?
If you don't know, you can look them up later. Johnny's Quest.
Thumbs up.
That was amazing.
Sideways.
This one's actually the one that I really liked, which was Freakazoid.
Oh, I love Freakazoid.
I don't remember that
character. If they got a tick game.
You would know if you saw like his character.
There was one other major one that they did not do, which was Voltron. There was no
They have game. A 360 game.
360. Yeah. I know, but
it belonged in the 8-bit.
It belonged in the 8-bit 16-bit era. There was no Voltron.
Like, yeah, dude.
But how would you have done that? Well, how would you have done that game? What do you think, Rick? Nintendo?
Super Nintendo and make it like the Power Rangers ones. You know,
how do you like build into the Voltron?
Because the Power Rangers ones, did stuff something like that.
Could you combine like in the Power Rangers one?
I think you can.
Dang, RPG.
I'd wanted a Super Nintendo RPG. Because that's when I really loved when I could tolerate RPGs was on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, no Voltron.
It would be awesome. NES.
Okay.
2D platform.
Okay.
Each member find their lion. And after you find all the lions, you start like a shoot 'em up.
So that's the mission. Oh. Is each mission is to
Guardian
find their
Legend?
Lions, and then Guardian like Legend. Guardian Legend.
Or Life Force, like first like this.
You know who
and
got
then,
a,
like,
you know who got a game and it was better than I was thinking. Or it's actually what I wanted. I was very surprised when they announced the Stranger Things game, and it's actually like what I wanted it to be.
Oh,
it was like a top down RPG, like 8-bit style video game.
Oh, I didn't even hear about that.
It was great. I loved it. I actually beat it on mobile and on Switch.
Really?
I bought it from you?
What a baller.
Possibly. It was great. I loved it.
I give it to you.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to close this one out. Gabbo, thank you for being here.
Wait. Look behind you. Hurry.
Two hours
on the dot.
But we're not done yet. But it is. That was pretty nuts.
2 hours on the dot.
All the full episodes.
All the full audio episodes
will be linked in the description, guys. And thank you for being here and supporting us as always. And Gabbo, thank you for being here, dude.
He did it perfect. Curtis did it perfect. Gabbo, high fives all around.
Yeah.
Thank you, Beto. I block it. Block it.
Hey, invite me again.
Okay, maybe a month. Okay, bye.